If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Sleep opens up your brain. It just your cells works better. You eat better. You listen better. You do sex better. You work better. You design cut better. You massage better. You drive better. You are all together better.
The fact is, the chief ingredient in marijuana is THC, a mild form of acid, prolonged usage of which can cause adverse effects to your sexual potency, short-term memory loss, and can also severely damage your brain tissue, central nervous system, and basic motor skills. To put it simply, Mom and Dad, there's a reason that they call it dope.
I make average about $20 to $30.
And what do you use that $20 to $30 on?
Weed. The point I'm trying to make with all of this, people, is that I hate drugs. I hate them. And based upon what I have seen, you all don't quite hate them as much as I do.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hi. Are you high?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one.
The bent tonic is chronic.
Just like the other one.
Smoke weed.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Butt hash.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
I don't think you guys know, man.
Roll another one.
You know, I got some weed at work today. Y'all want to try it out?
Just like the other one.
I'm really stoned. Sorry.
This one seems to be about.
God damn it, I love pot.
I don't have another cent.
I love to get high.
But don't bogart that joint.
I don't still sound like a pothead, do I?
Just pass it around.
Do you want to buy some pot?
But don't bogart that joint, my friend. I just pass it.
Marijuana, marijuana, hey, 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 get high.
Our feature presentation.
I want you to listen to me very closely. Are you paying attention? Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Okay, do not swear.
Really, not
watch
at all.
Your language, not even a little bit.
None.
Do you understand?
You're looking at him as if he's speaking a different language. Every time you're on the air, you swear.
And do not
saying,
swear.
You can't do that.
So not this time.
You know, we Armenians are like the... Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
What is wrong?
My God.
How did that just happen? What's going on?
You can't say that, Sam.
We just said don't swear. Okay. I'm sorry. We're going to cut that segment short, Sam. We're not going to have time for anything else with you.
Oh, I love him. Gold.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
I sent that audio to our friend Jimmy Kimmel yesterday. Of course, he used to work on the Kevin and Bean show.
Oh, that's right.
Because No one loves Sam more than he does. So I sent it to him, and he wrote back, and he was so sad. He's like, "That really makes me miss you guys." I think he wished he'd been there.
I'm sure. Oh,
he's seen it with his own eyes.
Yeah, without Jimmy, there would be no Sam. So those of you that hate him, you should blame Jimmy as well.
Good.
Yeah, Jimmy definitely insisted that that we keep giving him a chance. So. That was quite a moment right there.
Oh, I love him.
That's what he does with his chances.
Every time.
Yep.
No one's more consistent than him.
You can put money on it.
That's true.
If he was somebody who was creating a character, we would go, you're taking it too far. No one's going to believe that.
Yeah, seriously.
There's
a learning curve,
dude. You have to do something right every once in a while, just on accident. Nope.
I just wish that movie would come out. I really think people would
too.
So enjoy it. It's very well done. That Sam, the Armenian comedian film, is really, really good.
I forgot to mention that to Lightning when they were talking about hiring him as Mr. Clown for his kid's birthday party.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention in that part of the movie where he drives up to school children and starts yelling at them about turkey.
That's
right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
You need to know about turkey, kill Armenians. And there were like, I don't know, six-year-olds.
He's like preaching death and murder.
I think they understand it right now, Sam. And then he just steps on it and gets the hell out of there. Yeah,
he's great.
He's great. I want to marry him.
You can have him.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday. It's the 9th of May. I see them.
Au naturel, baby. That's how I like them. Swing low, sweet chariots.
Today, you're not going to believe this, especially since it's a Friday. Today is the day that R. Kelly's trial is supposed to begin.
Oh, for God's sake.
For having sex with the underage girl the videotape 25 years ago was from?
It sounds like a joke. It's been 6 years since he was charged. I don't know how long ago it happened, but 6 years ago he was charged. And he keeps putting it off. And it's not just that he's putting it off for legal reasons. I mean, the judge seems to be, you know, along the way, and I'm sure some of the judges have died and they've replaced him with new judges. But, oh, you want to go on tour? Sure, what the hell? Wait till you get back. I mean, it just seems like they've given him every courtesy and convenience in the world. 6 years.
That's unbelievable.
And really, this won't surprise you, but it is expected that his legal team is going to request a delay today because of what they say is new information that was in the paper over the weekend about the prosecution has another witness that they don't know anything about that's going to claim that she was in a three-way with R. Kelly and the girl in the video.
Ah.
So I don't know if that's going to be relevant or not, but the way I remember, and it's tough to keep all the details straight, but the girl in the video who has been identified by many people – is going to get on the stand and say it wasn't her. So, I mean, it sounds to me like that's the crux of the case right there. And if she does that, then I don't know what how the judge or jury is going to interpret that information.
He's going to skate on this.
I don't know.
After finally going to trial.
Not that we saw the video, but there's a video of him with an underage girl.
And he peed on the bitch on TV.
That's correct. I have some audio if you'd like it.
I need somebody to pee on me. Does anybody have to pee?
It's R. Kelly.
It's R. Kelly?
Yes.
It's just crazy. I mean, there are so many people, including so many young fans of R. Kelly's, who have no idea that this ever happened because it was so long ago.
And not that we saw it again because it would be against the law, but you remember how bored he was? Remember that?
Worst sex tape ever, if we'd seen it, yeah.
He was just dead inside. He just had no interest in what was going on.
No. Well, I mean, it was probably the 30th groupie he'd had sex with that month, allegedly.
Can you see the girl really clearly in the tape?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, not that we could, but the people who saw the video.
Right, the people who did.
That's what I mean.
So Rodney told us it was her,
Yeah, there's really no question. But I don't know how they would go about proving it if the person in the video claims it's not them. I don't know how, unless there's markings or a mole or something on her body that they can identify. I don't know.
Yeah, I assume they'll show that tape to the jurors, right?
Yeah, and probably show pictures of that girl if they have them at about that age and say, you be the judge. Is this the same person or not? But why would she say it's not her is another curious thing.
Money.
Unless there's some sort of payday that we don't know about.
I wonder.
Somewhere along the way.
I mean, it's also possible that she, while underage, wanted to do that and doesn't want to see him to go to jail for it. That's possible too.
Oh yeah, I mean.
And then there's some more evidence that the prosecution has, and it's a phone call that was made. I got that.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for you, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so yeah, I'm gonna take care of them, dude. All right, so I'm gonna send you to go make a fake drug deal, all right? I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right? Yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty, all right? Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to be okay, all right? Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's going to go down smoothly, dude. Double cross. All right, man. I got to go. Later.
It's a wire.
What a sucker Kevin is.
It's a wiretap that just came to the surface.
I don't know how they can't convict me.
See?
You're not, You're not proud of that setup, are you?
I actually
Come
am.
On, you're not really. Come
I actually
on.
Am. I actually like that.
You feel good about that?
Well, not in the sense that I stepped up to the plate and hit a home run, but hopefully it was enough of a curveball.
Was it a sacrifice fly? Is that
yeah.
what you're saying? Maybe you're out,
fly.
But you got the run in.
Right, exactly. I moved the runners around the bases.
Wow. Wow.
And while I'm out, I'm willing to sacrifice for the comedy.
While we're on the topic of Cucamonga Heat, it's so funny because Omar's brother is Eric. That's the guy he was talking to on the phone. And Omar's improv was calling him Eric on the tape. And at Microbrew this last Saturday, Omar's brother showed up. I can't look at him the same. I can't take him seriously. Every time I see him, I just laugh because I'm like, you're Eric.
Yeah.
What am I? What?
And anytime Mike hears the word Eric, that's it.
Yeah, Eric.
he thinks of that and starts laughing.
And I understand the prosecution has some audio, too, that they could use in the sex case.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for you, man. Yeah.
I don't think yours was any better, but mine was was solid.
Nice work, Kevin.
All right, it was bad. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday. We got the movie beat. We will tell you what movies are in the theaters and which ones are worth seeing. Based mostly on Ralph's impression, although I do believe this time he has seen one or two of them.
Oh, that would be helpful.
Which is quite odd for him, but that's the case. We got Matt Money Smith on the program today talking about the Lakers.
Cool.
Matt Money Smith in Utah, by the way. How weird must that be for him?
He's in Utah, and apparently he did a Kobe interview last night. Did you see that?
I listened to it.
Has it aired? Oh, you did? Okay, good. So we'll talk to him about that. We also have Beer Mug back in the studio today.
Yes.
We came in about the same time this morning, and I looked at him. I said, there's our athlete right there. And he's going to destroy another Guinness World Record today.
Lisa, please describe for the room the pre-interview that you already did this morning.
Oh, so I said, so Beer Mug, how's it going to go this morning? Are you going to beat the record? He's like, yeah, I'm going to beat the record.
He wasn't exactly pumped.
Well, I don't know how you could be. After last week's performance. I mean...
Did you practice at all? I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
It's a shame. He's losing it. He's losing it entirely. Tom Cruise was on Oprah and pretty much denied everything that he ever said before.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Not really, because...
But we have tape of it.
I know.
I mean, he wasn't
misunderstood.
Not in any way. He was extremely clear.
Yeah.
This is the Tom Cruise rehabilitation tour. This is. I know that my craziness has started to hurt my career, and now I need to figure out a way to get people to not think I'm crazy.
Did I say drugs are bad for children? Is that what I said? No. I must have spoken poorly. What I meant was that the parents should be able to decide.
Psychiatry is great. I don't have any problem with psychiatry. No, it's fine. I've never said anything about psychiatry.
It's really absurd.
Or Brooke Shields. Or...
Brooke Shields. He may have said it poorly, but they're good friends to this day. They still hang out.
Yeah.
Wow, he's something. Seth MacFarlane on the program today. Creator Family Guy.
Yeah.
American Dad. Matthew Fox, we talked to a couple days ago about Speed Racer. We'll give you some highlights of that just after 6.
Okay.
And K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta tickets coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. So that's coming up. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat. Now.
Ralph's got the first Showbiz Beat for Friday. What's going on, Argar?
I'm Anderson.
Don't tempt me, man. I'll get it going.
Butt hash.
Mother's Day is Sunday.
What?
Yep.
Oh, no.
You better get your ass to the store if you haven't yet. Because your mom will be pissed if you forget her on Mother's Day. I guarantee you.
Oh, yeah. That is unforgivable.
You have any history? You know the history of Mother's Day at all?
No.
You know where Mother's Day was invented?
Yeah. Mm-mm. In the 1800s,
oh,
right?
Wrong.
No? Okay, go ahead.
Oh, wrong.
Hallmark.
Nope.
No.
The first Mother's Day. First Mother's Day was celebrated in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania in 1908.
Suspect to begin with, then.
A woman named Ann Jarvis. Her mother passed away, and they had a special service for her at her church. And she said, there should be a day where we commemorate all mothers, not just my mother. So she started a letter-writing campaign to Congress. And 6 years later, Congress passed an official holiday for all mothers everywhere to celebrate. Isn't that nice?
She was right.
She was right.
Mother's Day is nice.
Mothers are cool.
Yes, they are.
Except for Britney Spears.
Yeah.
All their mothers are not good. Speaking of mothers... Paris Hilton has vowed to have a baby within the next year.
Oh, no.
The heiress is desperate to have a baby girl, or a baby rather, very soon, according to the London Sun newspaper. You know why? You know why she wants to have a baby so badly so quickly?
Because her friend has one.
So that the baby can be buddies with Nicole Richie's little girl, Harlow.
Because well, that's a really good reason.
Nicole is her BFF, so she wants uh-huh. to create her own BFF for her BFF's B.
Don't a lot of women, though, when their friends start having babies, start to, you know, hang around them and go, oh, now I want one. I wish I had one.
And we get
I
mean, play
it's
dates.
Pretty common, right?
And they're going to play dates. And have play dates.
Probably, but unless she was planning on having a baby anyway, that's a really stupid reason to have a baby.
Yeah, certainly.
Paris thinks she'll be a great mom. You know why? Because she says, I have so many beautiful animals I look after.
That's hot.
Same thing.
It is.
Doesn't she have them, though, for short periods of time?
Yeah, and then they're gone
and we
go.
Never hear from
Much
them
like
again.
Like a lot of Beverly Hills mothers, she pawns them off to keepers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
she's been through more dogs in the last 5 years than anyone I know of.
And no one knows where they go.
Yep.
Right.
After they leave her purse. Speaking of her friend Nicole Richie, apparently Nicole says she feels torn between being a mom and partying.
Okay.
According to Star Magazine, what she likes to do is tuck in little Harlow at the beginning of the night and then go out and hit the clubs. Good times. You know why? Because when you get back and you're all hammered and your kid gets sick at 5 o'clock in the morning mm-hmm. and you need to have your wits about you and you're loaded, then that child will most likely die. So it's a good idea. I think they recommend it.
That is the way to do it?
I don't know. What do I know? I don't have kids. Speaking of Paris and Nicole, there's a list from In Touch magazine of the top 10 best feuds in Hollywood between friends. Best friend feuds.
Yeah, okay. Theirs was a famous one for a couple of years.
Yeah, they were really at each other's throats for a long time. But
that's
no,
hot.
That's all patched up now. But here's the top 10 best friend feuds in Hollywood. Pretty interesting list. Paris and Nicole is number 10 on that list.
Okay.
Kanye West and Jay-Z. They used to be tight. Now they ain't aight. Number 8, Heather Locklear and Denise Richards. Yeah, once you start banging the same guy, that tends to get in the way.
Yeah.
That one's not going away anytime soon.
Sometimes penis gets between the ladies.
That does happen mm-hmm. in a perfect world.
In a good night. Kiefer Sutherland and Jason Patrick. Sometimes the vagina gets between two buds.
Is that what happened? Is they were fighting over
one? Is that Julia Roberts in between them or something?
Okay, you go. You tell the story.
I don't know.
No, I was just asking. Is that what it is?
Yeah, Kiefer was engaged to Julia Roberts. And she jilted him at the altar, broke off their engagement to run off with Jason Patrick.
She flew off with him, right?
To his Europe best friend. Or something? His best friend.
Yeah.
Nice.
Good times. Corey Haim and Corey Feldman, of course.
The Coreys.
Do they count as celebrities even?
Just barely. Heard of them. You know who they are.
Yeah.
Just barely.
Winona Ryder and Gwyneth Paltrow.
What's their beef?
Oh, they had a famous falling out, too. I think that was over a dude as well. I can't remember really? Which guy, but I believe it was over a dude.
Hmm.
Yeah. Number 4, Brooke Hogan and Christian Plant.
You think?
Yeah. Because Christian, of course, started banging her dad.
Yeah.
Really?
So that probably was awkward.
Probably not the best thing to do for a friendship.
Awkward when you're shopping for swimsuits. You think your dad would like this before he takes it off me and rails me? I don't know, Christian. Try something in a print.
All right. That's creepy.
Barbara Walters and Rosie O'Donnell, number 3.
Well, we could add Burt Walters and Star Jones, I guess, this week.
Another one to that list. Number 2, Justin Timberlake and Wade Robson.
Who the hell's that?
I don't know, but they made number 2.
Hmm. Bean, who's that? Do you know?
I think he dated Britney. I think, again, it's one of those deals where it was over a girl.
And number 1, with a bullet. Actually, I'd like to put a bullet into both of them.
I can guess that one.
Can you, Lisa?
Yeah.
You go, girl.
Lauren Conrad and Heidi Montag.
Word!
Woo!
Word to your mama.
Yeah,
they are the number 1 top best friend feud in Hollywood.
And none of their friends are supposed to talk to their friends.
I know,
either.
I can't believe you talked to her.
Where's your loyalty?
But you're on my side. David Cook of American Idol wants more than just that. He wants your money, too.
That's the dude that got thrown off?
No, he's the dude is still on.
He's the one who might
There's
win,
three left.
Right?
There's
might
David
win.
Archuleta.
Okay.
There's David Cook, and there's Saisha Mercado.
Hey.
And David Cook is sort of the Daughtry-esque rock guy on the show.
Okay.
Very talented.
Very talented kid. He can play guitar and sing, and he's really good. Of all the three of them, he's got the most talent. Anyway, he wants more than just to be the next American Idol. He would like to raise $80,000.
Dude.
So that his stepbrother, Adam, can be brought to the season finale because Adam is suffering from brain cancer and needs special medical transport in order to go anywhere. So he has started a website called HelpBringAdamBack.com to raise $80,000 in order to make the trip to Hollywood, which got me thinking. American Idol and Fox make $9 gazillion on this show.
Yeah.
They can't pony up 80 grand to get this sick kid into the audience to watch his brother work up on the stage.
Good point.
I don't know much about his brother's condition. I mean, David has made reference to it from the stage, and he always wears his brother's initials somewhere on his outfit or something when he performs. But what cost $80,000 to transport somebody? Even if somebody's just laying in a bed, it seems like you can put him on a plane and get him out here for less than that.
Geez, I don't know, Dr. Phil.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out why.
Well, maybe
why
he's
so got to
travel with some staff or something. I know what condition he's in, but maybe he needs staff or some sort of medical equipment that he has to be on or something. Or,
and they probably have to take him by ambulance.
But then,
depending on where he's coming from, I don't think he's local. I think they come from Texas or something, so he'd have to be airlifted. Probably a special sort of medical transport plane. I'm sure there are costs involved. Bean would put them in the back of a flatbed truck.
He would,
and just haul his ass across country. And while he's,
I was just asking what could cost so much. I'm just curious about the
story. He's trying to make a profit on it. I bet it's 80 grand. I bet whatever it is, it's 80 grand. That's
I'm not disputing the fee. I'm just curious as to what it would be used for. How can it cost $80,000 to move somebody from someplace inside the United States to someplace else inside the United States? It just is surprising to me. I don't have any problem with
the stamp bean.
Yeah, it's the best deal in the world. Put 42 cents on his forehead.
There you go.
Anywhere in the kids in the country.
Now we're talking.
So then they're going to fly him out. They're going to spend 80 grand. Then he's going to lose.
It's a new Bean segment. A new segment where Bean asks why things cost so much. Let's just have that as a conversation.
Didn't any of you think, hey, I wonder why it cost 80 grand to move somebody?
No,
really?
No,
nobody thought of that?
You know, this is the way the world works. You get something, and then they charge you a cost for it.
Right, but I have no problem with them doing it, and I agree with Ralph completely that Fox should pick up the tab and make sure that that happens.
$3.18 a gallon.
Well, that's because the goddamn government subsidies. I'll tell you that.
You just go to a cow and just suck from its teeth.
He is the
cheapest
man alive.
Money for that.
Cheapest man alive.
That's why his brain goes right to $80,000. I don't care who it was. I would just let him die.
Here was my thought process. 80 grand.
That's a lot. They must really need that for something.
I'm done.
Must be really sick.
My thought was, I hope the kid gets to the audience to see his brother perform before he dies of brain cancer. That's what
I would like that to happen too.
Can I get a discount medical transport?
Didn't say that.
Can we just set up a camera and have him watch in the hospital room for $85?
It's on TV. I mean, how hard is it for him to watch it?
Wow.
Sad.
It's a bad start to my day. That's all I'm saying. Hey, man, just think. Celebrity birthdays today. Rosario Dawson.
Come on.
A little love for RD, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Grindhouse. Yeah.
What was the Grindhouse A? What was the Kevin Smith movie that she was the most beautiful woman
Clerks
in the world?
Two.
In? Yeah. Oh,
Josie and the Pussycats. She was one of the Pussycats.
Love her.
Rent.
Did you say Rent?
Rent.
Yeah. Did you say Rent?
Yeah. And you're shaking your head like we're supposed to agree that was great.
Yeah.
Well, stop
you
it.
You are flimsy.
Yeah.
At best.
She's 29 years old today. Dave Gahan of Depeche Mode is 46 years old today. Billy Joel turns 59. He didn't start the fire.
He didn't?
There were some accusations.
I heard
back,
he did.
But he did not start them.
It's always burning.
Candace Bergen is 62. Producer, director, writer James L. Brooks is 68. And Ghostface Killah.
Oh, yeah.
Of Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh, yeah.
Turns 38 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
What are you doing over there, Dave?
He was doing the thing with the thumb in my palm.
Your palm?
What? You know, it's kind of sexual.
Does he know how to do the thumb?
Because
it's not made for the palm.
I know, but you can
why
tell
is Dave
what
touching
would be
you?
Like.
Why are you allowing Dave to touch you? What's going on
he
with
grabbed
this?
Grabbed my hand.
I saw him reach over and grab her hand, just nonchalantly, like nothing was going on. And Lisa just let him because she knew nothing was going on. All of a sudden, she recoiled in horror.
He did the thumb.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm just rad.
Just do the thumb.
That is not part of the no game game, Dave.
It
I don't know what's going on with you.
You know, it's a little bit of it, dude. You know.
Really?
Just a taste.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Just
he's giving me a taste, and now I'm slightly curious.
Now you really want to know.
Oh, all right. I think I'm gonna follow Dave at the Weenie Roast, see if I can pick up some tips on how he does it. Learn from the master. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'd be so happy.
Yeah.
All right, here's the story. Everybody has a favorite outfit, maybe something they like to wear. They wear frequently, coat, sweater, whatever. There's a young man who's he's now just 12, but for the first time in 4.5 years the other day, he went to school without his Brett Favre jersey. Yeah, he lives up there in Wisconsin or someplace. But he every day for 4.5 years wore the same thing to school, which is his Brett Favre number four. And I guess he finally decided now that Brett's retiring that he would too. And he's starting to outgrow the thing a little bit. So he took it off.
And was his mom happy just because it cut down so much on the cost of clothes?
It doesn't say that here, but I bet she was.
You have to imagine. 1,581 days in a row this kid wore the jersey. I mean,
how often do they wash it?
What are you going to wear to school today, son? Oh, never mind.
I don't know, and I was wondering if it's all he wore around the clock or just to school. I mean, would he take it off when he got home and then put on other clothes to go out and play or what? I don't know. There's not as many details in this story as I would like, but 1,581 days wearing the same thing in a row got us started on a discussion about how people just develop attachments, and clearly he was a huge, you know, Brett Favre fan, but people develop attachments to things and they will not stop with it. They won't throw it away. They won't get rid of it. They won't change it up. It's their thing and they're going to stick with their thing as long as they can.
Yeah, whatever it is, it means something to you, so you just hang on to it maybe forever.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, the King of Mexico, is in here. And Dave, a long time ago, used to have a crush on a certain person named Gwen Stefani.
Oh, I love Gwen. I still love her, you know?
He but still loves her.
She's married and has kids, so, you know, let her go. Let her go.
That's right? Nice of you.
I know, right?
That's big of you.
I know.
You mean you're willing to let her go since clearly she rejected you and married somebody else and started a family with him?
Well, I don't know, dude. She threw some flowers at me and I kept it for...
Okay, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Where were you?
At a No Doubt show.
Yes, but where?
Right in the front row, you know.
Where was the show, a-hole?
Oh, Anaheim.
Anaheim, okay.
It was the pawn show, the homecoming show, the big homecoming show.
Okay. And she threw a flower?
She throws, in every show, she throws a bouquet of flowers into the crowd.
Uh-huh.
And I was lucky enough to catch the sunflower.
Okay, now did she make eye contact with you?
She pointed at me and chucked it at me.
Except for she didn't
Except
do any
no,
of that.
She just threw it behind her back.
Right.
And, you know.
Dave, but you were texting at the time, I'm sure. How did you even notice that the flower
was
coming towards
back,
you?
No, dude, back in that day, I was pre-texting.
Oh, there is no such thing for you.
So I was paying attention to the show, actually.
Wow.
I know, right?
So she throws the flower. You catch it. Did you not get any little kids out of the way or anything?
I cleared out everybody. Absolutely. I cleared all the little girls and everything.
Sure.
Yep.
Had you already peed in the pit at that point, or were you done with
that? A whole different thing.
Okay.
Whole different thing.
Okay, so this is a perfect example of what we're talking about, and we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Stuff that you hung on to forever, maybe past the time that you should have let it go like a responsible person. So you get a flower, and you go, well, that's neat. I mean, I love this woman. This is kind of a neat souvenir because she touched it, and now I have it, and that's kind of a cool memento from the concert.
I caught Gwen's flower, dude. It was awesome.
So to speak.
You drank her milkshake, right? So most people would take that home, and they go, hey, that's really cool. But then, you know, a week goes by, 2 weeks goes by, the concert was fun and all, but now it's time to move on with your life, and clearly that's just dead, rotting flower at this point. You chuck it, right?
Nope. I displayed it for 5 years before it disintegrated
and really
became dust.
How did you display it?
Just on my, it's called a shelf thing.
So by displaying it, you mean you put it on a shelf?
Yeah, in my room, you know.
Okay.
Just hung it up.
What do you call it? A shelf?
Yeah. Dresser.
What's that thing? Oh, my room?
Yeah.
5 years. So then it disintegrated. Did you save any part of it?
No.
You wanted to, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I wanted to put it in a little baggie and smoke it, but it didn't work out that way.
I'm guessing you tried that, if I know you.
I did.
Yeah.
At some point, King, a month in, you had to say, well, that flower's, that's dead. It's not coming back. So clearly it's time to get rid of it, right?
It was Gwen's flower, dude. I wasn't giving it up.
6 months in, and then a year in, and then 2 years in. I mean, how... You were going to hang on to it just as long as you
possibly
could.
People were stuck when they would come over and be like, what's that flower? I'd be like, oh, I caught that at a No Doubt show. You know, Gwen threw it at me. And everyone's like,
but that's not impressive, Dave.
It is.
Especially considering you're lying that Gwen threw it at you.
How many people do you know have a flower from Gwen?
Well, nobody, because they throw them out in the trash can on the way out of the arena.
That's right. Not this guy, though. I cherished it.
I'm going to say that no one was impressed by that. Nobody that came over to your house.
Everybody was.
They don't go, wow, you caught a flower from Gwen? That's awesome.
We could take calls all day of people who are going to be jealous of me because of my flower.
Off air yesterday in the meeting, we're having this conversation and we realize that Dave's retarded with the flower. And then somebody brings up that maybe I may have said something beyond its expiration date.
Which is 1 minute past you getting custody of it. That's when it's past its date.
Many years ago, I was lucky enough to assist my veterinarian on a surgery to a pet of mine. And maybe donkey testicles were the result of that. Maybe I ended up with a jar full of donkey balls. Oh. And maybe I hung on to that for a good, I don't know, 15 years.
Oh, see, this is the way things go. You got the little kid wearing the Favre jersey. Yeah. You got Dave with a nice little story about the flower and Gwen. Bean has donkey balls.
Well, I did hang on to them perhaps longer than I needed to. But again, it's not the type of thing. My situation was different from Dave. It just seemed like the type of thing you don't just throw in the trash because it's a, you know, it's a part of a living thing. I don't know. Just
I'd like to suggest that that is precisely exactly what you do with balls. When they're taken off of the animal, they throw them out, all of them.
That's called medical waste.
Yes.
When you amputate an arm, you don't really
hold on to it because it's an arm.
Hey, doctor, can I keep that? They don't do that.
Sometimes people save stuff that comes out of surgery, you know?
Like maybe gallstones. That's about it.
But, and that's weird.
They don't let you save your spleen.
And that's weird. But yeah. Your donkey's balls. And Bean brought them into work. He had them in a jar.
Disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's...
They're gone now because we ended up giving them away when we had the garage sale a few weeks ago. So a K-Rock listener actually owns the balls now. I don't even have them anymore. But I think that's in the area that we're talking about. If you have something or had something that you hung on to for years and years and years and nobody can understand why, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Let's take one before the break, and it's going to be Caesar, who's in Long Beach, and he has a story very similar to Dave's story. Good morning, Caesar.
Hi.
Hi there. What did you keep?
Back in 98, my first Ozfest show, I saw Slipknot for the first time, and Corey threw out a beanie. And I caught it, and I've had it and worn it since 98.
Now, is it a Slipknot beanie or just a regular beanie?
No, it's a Nightmare Before Christmas beanie.
Okay.
Okay. And when you say you've worn it since then, how often do you wear the beanie?
I wear it on average 3 to 4 times a week the whole day.
No kidding.
10 years later. And it's because of the connection to Slipknot, because you like them still, right?
Yes.
Do people ever ask, and then you go, yeah, this Nightmare Before Christmas beanie was given to me by Slipknot. And they go, what are you talking about? No?
Yes. No, they don't, because most of the people I hang out with,
they
don't like Slipknot. And they try to tease me about it, but I tell them, what do you have? And they have nothing.
There you go.
That's
face.
A good comeback.
You destroyed
them. That is a bird, man. Yeah, what do you have? I got a 10-year-old beanie from a guy who threw it at me.
Thank you, Caesar. From a guy wearing a mask.
Right.
I got a beanie.
Not everyone can pull off the beanie.
See, that guy got something from Corey from Slipknot. I got Gwen. See how much?
Yeah, okay, he actually doesn't disintegrate.
You didn't get Gwen. You got a flower.
But it's a flower from Gwen.
Right, okay. All right, we'll take a quick break and come back with your phone calls next.
We're talking about stuff that you're never going to give up. Dave with his flower from the Gwen concert. Me with the donkey balls. Kevin, you're not a guy who hangs on to much of anything for very long. So maybe this topic doesn't apply to you this morning.
No, I don't keep stuff for a long time. I have hockey memorabilia from the Kings.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I have a couple of things from the Lakers. But other than that, I don't really...
It's a miracle if Kevin gets to the end of the day and is still wearing the clothes that he put on that morning. That's how fast Kevin loses stuff.
That
but 1-800-520-1067, we're taking your calls on stuff that you hung on to. Sometimes people around you had no idea why you would keep something like that for as long as you did. And why don't we start with Sergio in Montebello on line 6. Get the party started here with Serge. Good morning. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good,
how's
thanks.
It going, Lisa May?
Good.
What are you hanging on to?
Hey, I'm going to make it quick. My son, I had two boys. One of them was learning how to ride a bike, and he had training wheels.
Right.
Was he using handlebars? Do you know?
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, he had handlebars. It got stuck, so the two training wheels were holding the middle wheel up, so he was pedaling, and it was just spinning.
Right.
My other boy, who was just a baby, maybe a year old, maybe a little more, saw the sprocket spinning and stuck his finger in there.
Ouch.
Ouch. Okay.
Took a piece of his finger and it ripped the whole nail from even under the finger.
Ouch.
Oh. Plastic.
What is it that you kept from this story?
I kept the little piece of his finger with the nail in a little jar, and I've had it ever since. It's in the toolbox.
Well, that's a good place for it.
It wasn't the type of thing that you would have maybe been better serving your son by having it reattached?
No, it was destroyed. It wasn't so bad. I mean, his finger looks almost normal now because he was so small, but it's just, I don't know. It's just my wife.
But you kept the body part.
So what is it doing? Yeah. Just like drying?
If he needs a screwdriver made out of fingernail, he's got it right there.
The jar, it's crazy glued. and it's just sitting there. My wife told me to dump it a long time ago. But
well, that would have been the non-creepy thing to do.
Or give it to your son on graduation,
I know that there's a lot of stuff, like when it comes to your kids, it's hard to explain how you feel, but fingernail.
Well, now, a lot of people save baby teeth, right? I mean, that's not out of the ordinary, right?
Right.
Right, but cut off finger with fingernail? Yeah. I've never heard of that before.
No, that's – no. We reject you totally, but thank you for the call, Serge. We appreciate it. There was a contestant in the early rounds of American Idol this season who had saved all of his fingernail clippings since he was a young boy.
Ew.
And had a little Glad bag that he carried around that had – you know, gross. 10 years of fingernail clippings.
He carried it around? He didn't just have it someplace
well,
in the bathroom?
I don't know if he did all the time, but he did bring it at least to the audition. You know, it was a topic of discussion.
Jessica in Long Beach. Good morning.
Hi. I keep my Burton snowboard. For broken one for about 10 years.
One of your first snowboards that you learned on?
It was my second. Yeah, it's actually the one that got me through and made me a good rider.
Yeah, I can see that. That makes sense. I mean, that's not your kid's finger,
but it's
or your donkey's balls.
But it's broken. I mean, at some point, isn't it just trash?
It's not really a human part, Jessica. So Bean doesn't understand.
Right, it's not a donkey ball.
I can totally understand a surfboard because it reminds you of great times.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can see that. Same with donkey balls for you, B. Reminds you of great times.
Let's go down to line 7 and get Tim on the air. Tim's calling from Whittier this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about stuff that you never, ever give up. Tim, go ahead.
I kept my pet rats a couple of years after they died.
You kept your pet rats. How many?
Two.
Two pet rats. A couple years
why,
after.
Why not bury them?
You what?
Because, see, the original thing was I heard that if you froze them first and then buried them, then other animals wouldn't smell them and dig them up.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I froze them.
Yeah.
But then kind of got lazy and forgot about them, and they just kind of wound up hanging around in the back corner of the freezer for a couple of years.
Okay, but then when you came across them, did you throw them out?
Well, no, usually I'd show it to somebody, and it'd get a rise out of them, and everybody'd have a laugh, so I figured, oh, that's worth hanging on to. That'll be funny.
Yeah, look how creepy I am.
So now it's comedy.
Yeah. I like it, just for the reaction. I like that. All right, thank you for the call. Let's go to David in East L.A. David's got a very, very special thing that he has been hanging on to. Hi, David.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Okay.
What have you kept since third grade?
Oh, rock, man.
A rock?
I was walking home. It was down the street from where I used to live, and my grandma picked us up. You know, she was visiting from Mexico. Mm-hmm. And I liked it because it looked like it symbolized like a dinosaur egg. Well, I thought at the time, you know, I was like about 6, 7 years old.
Right.
And I kept it ever since. Right now I'm 27 years old and I still have it. I got married and everything. My wife told me that she had thrown it away because I couldn't find it. And man, I just went crazy.
I'm sure you did.
Do you hang on to
that because it reminds you of your grandma?
Yeah, you know, I never really had a chance to bond with my grandparents from both sides of the family. So. You know, when she was the one we bonded with the most, so when she passed away, it was just something that
I got
decided to keep, and I had it ever since. So
I got you.
I still have it here.
All right.
Yeah. Sentimental value of the rock.
Thank you, David.
Okay, thanks for the call. Say hi to Rudy, by the way, if you see him.
Let's go to Susan in Long Beach. Susan is one gross mofo.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Hey, Susan.
Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Susan.
What have you kept?
I kept the little plastic ring that they put around my penis, when they circumcise them.
Hold on, your phone is breaking up. Say it again. You kept the little plastic ring, what?
That went around their penis when they circumcised them. They were babies in the hospital.
Oh,
so you kept your son's penis skin that they cut off?
No, it's the ring. It's a plastic ring.
I don't know.
Around
a ring.
Penis.
Okay.
But why?
Why did you save that?
Why didn't you sell that and get a new phone?
I saved it because it's so tiny. And then when they look at it when they're older.
Oh, good. Then you can make them feel bad. Look at this. Look how tiny this ring is.
Or make them feel good because it's so much bigger today than it was back when they were kids.
You're nothing, son. All right. Thank you for the call.
That's like saving a surgical tool or something. I mean, that's all it is, right? You just use it for the operation.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything. That's weird.
Let's go to Will in Torrance. Good morning, Will.
Hey, morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. What are you hanging on to?
Morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Actually, I found a lizard when I was like 4 years old, and I kept it. I kept it in like a Nintendo container I had for video games.
Uh-huh.
And it was like clear, and me and my sister forgot about it.
Okay, but then here's the question. When you found it, what did you do with it?
We just left it in there. We just closed it and held on to it. We were going to feed it and keep it and play with it later, but
Wait a minute.
I thought it was dead.
Yeah, we found it like 2 years later, and, well, I actually ended up getting rid of it like last year, so I've had it like 16 years.
Okay, so after you found it and realized that it was dead, you held on to it for another 16 years.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
all right.
Pretty much.
Nothing weird there.
Makes a lot of sense.
Thank you, Will.
All right, let's close with Bill and Diamond Bar. There must be a story that associates with this. We're talking about stuff you don't give up. Bill, what's your deal?
Hey, fellas, what's going on? Good morning.
Good morning.
Lisa May.
Hi, Bill.
Okay, back in the day when I was about 15 years old and a sophomore in 10th grader in high school, I just started getting into first sexual intercourse with my newly in-love girlfriend.
Right.
And she used to ditch school all the time and have it come over to my house and just spend mornings there. And as the moisture and, I guess, you know.
Sure, we get it.
Better word. In the stains afterwards, in the sheets, I would cut them out with scissors. And I saved them.
Every time?
You would cut the stained sheets out.
No, whenever it was just like, just like crazy wild stuff. I was like, that was a good one. Let me just go ahead and get the scissors.
Oh, yeah. Worst collection ever.
Yes. Worst collection ever.
How many sheets did you go
through? How many do you have?
I probably have about 10. And I'm 43 now, and I still have them in a cedar box.
Did your mom go, what's happening to your sheets?
No, he cut them out.
Yeah, well, I don't know. We had a lot of sheets, I suppose. I don't know. I actually reused them. I just folded the sheet over for maybe two or three times and still kept using them.
Yes. Oh,
dude, that's the worst souvenir ever.
Awesome.
No, that's no. Love.
Are you kidding?
No.
That's way better than her kid's finger. Well, that Christmas reminds him of good times.
Thank you.
But let me ask you this. In retrospect, as you look back as a man in your 40s now, you look back to those teenage years, don't you wish instead of saving sex stains from the sheets, you would have saved, I don't know, Polaroids of your girlfriend? Would that have been a way, way better souvenir to have today?
I would say yes, except a few of them have some small pubic hair still entwined.
Oh, all right.
Okay. All right. All right.
All right.
Good morning.
You rule. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Bye. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
You refused to give up the conversation until we were done, didn't you?
I wanted to finish it.
I'm just going to wait. I know we have dead air, but I'm going to finish saying what I'm saying before.
Weezer was
I
still fading.
No, they weren't.
I just needed to finish my sentence off
the
air.
Well and fully finished.
Seth MacFarlane, creator of The Family Guy, joins us in the 7 o'clock hour, we hope. And also, Beer Mug attacks another Guinness World Record for eating challenges. That's all coming up. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Friday morning at 6:53. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. Real quickly, I want to remind you that tomorrow night, Saturday night, is going to be a great event called Dealing for Duchesne. It is a no-limit Texas Hold'em charity poker tournament. And a bunch of celebrities are going to be there playing, including myself and our very own K-Rock's Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show.
You guys know
you never cease to amaze me with your constant need for attention.
You guys know how bad my mind is. I was thinking yesterday, what's the name of that charity? Because somebody emailed me because they knew I was going to be there. I was like, all I can remember is the word douche. That's all that's coming to my head.
Dealing for Douches is another charity event we're doing later in the year. But this is for Duchenne muscular dystrophy, which is a horrible disease. It takes the lives of one out of every 3,500 boys in America.
Wow.
Yeah. That's pretty big.
It is pretty big. It's a degenerative muscle disease. This disease eats the muscle cells, and they won't regenerate. And most of these kids don't live past their teens. It's a horrible disease. The families are really suffering because sometimes it can be genetic, but sometimes it just strikes randomly.
Yeah.
And they are desperately trying to make some scientific breakthroughs to help cure this disease. So we're doing a fundraiser on Saturday night at the Peterson Automotive Museum right there on Fairfax. It's going to be a great night. Besides poker, there's also going to be blackjack and roulette. So if you're not a poker player, you can still come and gamble the night away. Cocktails, food, live music. It's going to be a great evening. As I mentioned, Kevin and I will be there, as will Anne Heche and James Tupper of Men in Trees. Willie Garson from Sex and the City in the upcoming movie. Josh Molina from The West Wing. Kevin Wiseman from Alias, who played Marshall Flickman on that show. So it's going to be a blast. Go to the Kevin and Bean links page, and you will find the website for Dealing for Duchenne is the name of the event. And if you can't make it, there's still an opportunity on the website to maybe donate a couple bucks because they sure could use your donation. So thanks so much for coming. If you have an opportunity tomorrow night, we'd love to see you there. Mother's Day, right there on the horizon, right there on Sunday. And I'll tell you.
Wait, this Sunday?
This Sunday, yeah. It's going to be a big weekend. Hmm. We're going to play poker, and then we've got our moms to take care of. And Michael Lowen.
Michael Lowen! Got to earn enough playing poker to get my mom something.
That's right. Actually, you don't really win money, Kevin.
Oh, that's it. I'm not going.
You get to buy raffle tickets with your your winnings, so you might get something out of it. Michael Lowen isn't impressed that his ex-wife, Dina, was recently honored as one of the Mothers of the Year.
We'll join the crowd.
By an organization called Mingling Moms, a social group on Long Island that celebrates the mothers of celebrities. Has there ever been a more pointless organization than one that celebrates the mothers of celebrities?
Just self-serving and dumb?
No,
Where's your charity event for that organization?
Yeah, right. Let's get together some Long Island moms so they can play Mahjong and file their nails. apparently, he thinks the whole thing is a joke, he tells the New York Post, because, he said, of her complete lack of morals and propensity of stumbling out of nightclubs at 3:15 a.m.
I'd argue with that.
There's that, sure.
Meanwhile, she dismisses his allegations as infantile and says he's a loose cannon who's on a mission to destroy her. Oh, sounds like a movie I'd like to see.
Does.
He's a loose cannon on a mission to destroy Dina Lowen. He's Michael Lowen in The Mom Killer. So, more family feuds going on there.
I saw on TMZ yesterday, Ralph, and maybe you saw this aspect of the story, too, that when she went to accept her award from the bogus group in Long Island, mm-hmm. she was missing a court-ordered therapy session that she was supposed to be at. She skipped it.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Just it says so much about Dina Lowen.
Couldn't write it any better. We were speculating yesterday about Liv Tyler, whose birthday it was, and her husband Royston Langdon. People magazine has now made it official. The couple has indeed split. They were married 5 years ago, and they have a 3.5-year-old son named Milo, so that's sad. But apparently
that's ideal.
They are on the outs. And, you know, most of the time a celebrity writes an autobiography or a book, I have no interest in reading about their lives.
Yeah.
Very few celebrities, other than the fact that they've become celebrities, have anything really interesting going on in their lives. This may be the exception. New York Post reports that Craig Ferguson is hard at work at writing his autobiography.
Oh, he's a funny guy.
He's a funny guy, but do you know much about his life? Fascinating guy who is not who you think he is when you see him now on his TV show.
Who is he?
Well, his book will be mostly about his failed suicide attempt and his battle against drugs and alcohol. He was a hardcore user and drinker who had to go into a recovery program.
That sounds funny.
But more importantly, it will chronicle his life as a punk rocker.
What?
A dancer, a bouncer, and a construction worker in Scotland while he was coming up. He had no intention of being a comedian or an actor. He was originally a punk rock drummer and used to work at bars and bounce at bars and get loaded and work construction to try to make a few bucks. But a really interesting, hard-scrabble life for Craig Ferguson in Scotland before he hit it big. So I think there might be a lot of interesting tales in there.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Lauren Conrad, speaking of alcoholics. I don't know if you read the Fox News story or not, but Lauren apparently was at a club in Hollywood this week. And as she stumbled out of the nightclub, a intoxicated man nearby started berating her with four-letter words. Just started unleashing on her.
Yeah, it was rough.
So she took cover in a nearby cab. Meanwhile, one of her buddies didn't like the guy's attitude, apparently. Went back into the club and grabbed, I don't know, about a half a dozen big guys to come out and beat the snot out of the drunken guy. Onlookers say the guy was so hammered he couldn't fight back.
Oh.
And so the gang grabbed him and beat his head against a phone pole for a few minutes.
Oh, no.
Until they left him unconscious on the sidewalk with blood everywhere at the scene.
That sounds bad.
Psycho Mike is so excited right now.
Yeah, if you have to go into a nightclub and get six guys to back you up in a fight with a drunk.
With a guy who can't defend himself.
You are the flimsiest dude on the planet. You are, shame on you, sir. Whoever this a-hole was. Look, fight or don't fight, but don't say, dude, is this drunk out there? Let's go roll him. That's just weak.
Yeah, that is.
Weak. Speaking of weak, Paris Hilton has vowed to have a baby within the next year.
Oh, good. That's such good news.
She tells the London Sun British tabloid that she's desperate to have a baby very soon, that her kid can be buddies with Nicole Richie's little girl, Harlow.
Oh, that'll be so fun.
This way they can have little play dates. Nicole and Paris can get together and say really inane, vapid things while their kids roll around the floor together.
Bores.
Apparently, Paris says she thinks she'll be a great mom because she has so many beautiful animals that she cares for.
Yes.
Same thing.
Yes.
Put the baby in a cage with a wheel. Put down some redwood shavings.
Yes.
Get one of those water bottles hanging on the side and throw some pellets in once in a while.
How about the horrors?
We're talking about them, Rodney.
Yeah, we are. We're talking about
them. I know that it's not the same. Animals and kids are not the same, but there is a nurturing instinct, and people who cannot take care of animals, like Paris Hilton, should not be taking care of children.
But she's saying she's good at it.
Yeah, she sees herself as doing it well.
And I'm saying she's wrong and she's not, and they should force the Nor plant on her, is what I'm saying.
How about the horse?
We just did that.
Just talked about the horse.
And more casting news in the new Oliver Stone movie on the Bush family called W.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is coming out in October.
And they're still casting
it? They're still casting it. This thing is going to be shot relatively quickly.
Yeah. There's no way he's going to win the election now. I mean, this comes out, right?
It's going to screw his political career.
Totally going to screw him up.
I think it'll end his presidency, this movie.
Although, having said that, I suspect Kevin would vote for him a third time if he could.
Vote for comedy, dude. I vote for comedy.
How dare you.
Daily Variety says, as we know, Josh Brolin will be playing young Dub. Elizabeth Banks will be playing his wife, the future First Lady. James Cromwell will be playing George H.W. 41 Bush with Ellen Burstyn and his wife, Barbara. Now, here's the rest of the new cast members. Tandy Newton is playing Condoleezza Rice.
Whoa.
Please, I wish.
That's an upgrade.
She wishes.
I'm kidding. She looked like Tandy Newton.
Yeah, Condoleezza Rice may be the only one who's happy to see this movie get made in the administration because Tandy's playing her.
Broadway and movie star Jeffrey Wright will be starring as Colin Powell.
He seems awfully young to play Colin Powell.
I think so, too. Maybe they'll age him with some makeup. Scott Glenn will be Donald Rumsfeld.
I can see that.
But still yet to be cast is Dick Cheney. They're still waiting to cast the Dick Cheney part.
It's got to be you, Ralph. It's got to be. You've got to go for this.
So love to play that role.
Would that be the best?
Just have one line the whole movie.
So?
I think we're in big trouble here.
So?
Just come. Just put some glasses on, shave my head, and I'll just sit there and think, so?
What do you think the point is of him making this movie?
He's got an axe to grind, obviously. He wants to get his last parting shot in before it's all over.
No, he says it has nothing to do with that, Ralph.
Oh, that's what I meant to say.
If the artist gets lost in the work.
It's completely apolitical.
You won't even know his take.
And you'll have no sense of how he stands on the issues simply by the hatchet job he does, of course.
I hope this interview with the Vice President is in the movie.
2/3 of Americans say it's not worth fighting.
So?
Yeah, that'd be good. Be a hot scene.
Every time I hear that, I think it's spectacular. America says that they who elected you don't like the way you're running their country.
So?
Don't feel responsible for them.
No. Do you think Hillary Clinton would make a good president?
No, I don't.
Why?
Because she's a Democrat.
Okay. Just that cut and clear. Today's celebrity birthday is Rosario Dawson. From Grindhouse, from Clerks 2.
I can't take that noise from both Mike and Bean, by the way. That's overload.
I couldn't. I usually can hold back.
That's
Rosario
noise
Dawson.
Overload.
Yeah. She's the best.
Yeah.
I'll throw up.
Ghostface Killah.
Yeah.
From Wu-Tang Clan's 38. Dave Gahan from Depeche Mode turns 46. Omar's in the other room lighting some candles, having a little seance celebration in there. Not seance, for, guy's not dead, but, you know, the memorial.
For a former heroin addict who's 46, he looks pretty good.
Yeah, he does.
He does.
Billy Joel is 59 years old. For a former boozer, does not look as good as
Dave
Gahan
does. Not good at all, no.
Ugly.
Candace Bergen is 62.
Yeah.
James L. Brooks is 68 years old today. You know, I realized when you guys were doing the last segment that for the longest time, I had saved the condom wrapper that held the condom that I lost my virginity with.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How long?
Jeez, I just threw it out like a couple years ago.
Just the wrapper, though.
Just
not
the wrapper.
Really?
Not the actual condom, yeah.
And you would look at that and be reminded of, or just...
Initially, I was like, this is, you know, this is a keepsake, and then I threw it in a box someplace.
Right.
And then I just kept... Every couple... Yeah. Every couple of years, I would run across it again. And get kind of a laugh at it. No, then I would throw it back in the box again.
All right.
Until finally, I was cleaning out that same said box and said, this can probably go now.
Maybe I've gotten my use out of this one.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should have saved them all.
Omar saved his fishnets from when he was younger.
Did he?
When he was going through his emo phase.
Did he
still
save
has
his,
them.
Did he save his guy liner, though? That's the question.
Probably.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Beer Mug, how you feeling? You ready to attack another Guinness World Record reading challenges?
I am ready as I'll ever be.
That's what he told me this morning.
I hope that's not the case.
Eating challenges are the name of his game.
Yeah.
He has never won one. He is super lame.
Beer Mug. What's he gonna talk?
know he'll never quit. K-Rock's Kevin even made him taste poor sh**. He's Beer Mug. What's he gonna chug?
Now, chug may be a kind word. In the past, he's tried to set a record with Easter Peeps, those little orange plastic candies.
55 of those.
It's supposed to have over 100. Powdered donuts.
Yeah.
Didn't
one,
do as well.
One and a half.
Bananas. Oh, unpeel and eat the bananas.
Let's do five, right? Unpeel and eat five in, what was it, a minute or something?
Like a half of one.
Minute.
Yeah.
Milkshake. Remember you drank the milkshake?
He did not drink our milkshake.
Nowhere close.
No.
And chicken soft tacos on Monday at Cinco de Mayo. He,
well, he was shooting for 48.
Shooting for 48, and how many did you end up eating at the end of the 12 minutes?
A whole eight.
Eight.
So it was only 40 shy.
So 40 short.
Look, okay. In the world of competitive eating, that's bad.
Right? That's not even close. Yeah. So we're going to try it again today. Now, what do you have there in front of you?
We got mugs? Chicken nuggets.
Chicken nuggets.
Chicken nuggets.
All right, the record was set by the same woman, by the way, that set the 48 chicken soft tacos.
Oh,
the slim, slender-looking one?
I want to see this, bro.
She must be a porker.
Yeah.
Sonia Thomas is her name. She ate in 5 minutes... 80 chicken nuggets.
80 in 5 minutes.
In 5 minutes.
Wow. What do we got in front of you there, Mug? How many are you guesstimating that we have there on those three platters?
Guesstimating on these three platters, maybe about 130.
Okay. So you got a lot of extra in case you really go over
the
record.
Well, when he shatters the record, yeah. he wants to be able to crush as many as he can.
All right, I'm going to bet that he's not going to get past 20.
Oh, five minutes?
Yes. I eat a
25 minutes.
8 out of 48.
But that was in like 11 minutes.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Come on, Mug.
20.
Kevin,
I 20.
He
can't swallow.
Look,
he has trouble swallowing
nuggets.
Pretty big nuggets. He can't swallow.
These are bite size.
He can't swallow.
Look, wow.
All right. Don't eat it. He might break the record.
What are you doing?
That's one right there. In a second.
All right. In the interest of time, we do need to get the clock started here soon and get him on the 5 minutes. That's all you've got is 5 minutes. The record is 80, Beer Mug. Any final thoughts before we start the
final thoughts? One. 3 second chomp, 1 second swallow. That's my technique. And two, I got to be bigger than the nugget. Here we go.
All right.
Lisa,
are you going to keep track?
I'm going to keep track.
All right.
Ready to go,
Mug? In 3, 2, 1, chug.
All right. He's got one in his mouth and he's chewing and still chewing.
That's two.
Number two in his mouth. Has he swallowed yet, Ralph?
No. I ate one in a second faster than you.
Has he swallowed yet?
Come on, swallow!
Leave him alone! He can't swallow, guys. Oh, he's got sauce. What kind of sauce do you have on him?
He's got barbecue and ketchup.
Ketchup, yeah. Okay. All right. Good. Add stuff to it. That's a smart move.
He's dipping as he goes. He's eating one and then dipping the other. He's using his time.
Mug may be ill-suited for this work. That's all I'm suggesting.
What are you talking about?
He's got the whole thing in his mouth.
No, go ahead and argue with us in the middle of the record attempt.
Why don't we let him continue to eat?
You don't swallow much.
We'll play our commercials,
come
back for the grand conclusion before we give away some Wiener Roast tickets. How about that?
Dude, but we can't. We'll run out of... Where are we in the time? I think we're way...
We've got 4 minutes and 6 seconds left. So let's get some commercials in, come back, see how he's doing.
All right. We'll take a break. Muggs is on.
Keep eating, Mug. Keep eating.
It's five. He's struggling.
What's he on right now, Lisa? Five?
He's on five.
Okay.
Come on!
We'll be back in about 4 minutes, and he'll have about seven done. Be right back. I just say, normally, when we debut a new game, it goes really well.
Sure.
Gangbusters. Everything works fine.
We have an amazing track
record. We really do have a good track record.
Yeah.
K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2008 is 1 week from tomorrow. Metallica, Offspring, Raconteurs, Rise Against, Pennywise, Bad Religion, The Bravery, and more. You can win your tickets right now at 1-800-520-1067 with a little game we like to call Name That Weenie.
Can you name that weenie?
Weenie.
Give us the right answer and you'll get tickets to Weenie Roasty Fiesta.
And the host for today's game, ladies and gentlemen, the great drummer for the band Motley Crue, Tommy Lee, joining us. Good morning, Tommy.
Yeah. What's up?
How's it going,
man? Right. Yeah, rip.
Right. So, name that weenie. How is the game played this morning?
I'm going to read questions about... Hey, shut up back there, dude.
Who's with you there? What are you talking about?
I don't know. Hey, who are you?
It's Omar, man.
Oh, hey, it's a guy named Omar. Bananas. So okay. I'm going to read questions about famous weenies. You tell me what that famous weenie is, man. Bananas.
Okay. And if you get it right, if they come up with the answer you're looking for, Tommy, then they go in the drawing. Lisa will keep track, and someone will win tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Rose DFiesta 2008. Do I have that correct?
What?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Let's start with David Burbank. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, Dave.
You ready to name that weenie?
Let's give it a shot.
All right. Here's Tommy Lee.
Listen up. This legendary 70s porn star was known for snorting blow and masterminding robberies and murder on Wonderland Avenue. Yeah. On top of his huge weenie, he also helped coin the term porn stash with his kick-ass lip fur. Yeah. But he died of AIDS. That's not bananas.
All right. Name that famous weenie, Dave.
I have no idea, guys.
He certainly couldn't have given you more hints that we were looking for. The great, late John Holmes is the answer we wanted this time. Right, but thanks for playing the game anyway, Dave.
Thank you.
that caller could probably eat more chicken nuggets than beer mug, by the way.
No question. All right, let's go to Phil in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Phil.
Morning, guys. Morning, Lisa.
Hi, Phil.
Tommy?
Hey, listen up, dude. This type of dog is most often referred to as the weenie dog, because it totally looks like a weenie, but I bet it couldn't drive a boat like me. Yeah!
Phil?
A dachshund.
Yes! A dachshund is correct.
Yeah!
Nicely done. We're going to put you on hold and put you into the drawing, all right?
Yeah, I'm ripped. All right, got it.
Kathleen in Northridge, good morning.
Good morning.
Tommy, what's your question?
This star of the most famous celebrity sex tape with his ex-wife, Pam Anderson, he totally had kids with her. That rips. And he shreds on drums for this seriously kick-ass L.A. glam rock band. He's bananas and has a huge weenie, too.
All right.
Is it Tommy Lee?
It is, yes.
I know that, dude.
Nicely done.
Tommy, one of the questions was about you. That's the game we're playing here today?
Yeah, rips.
Famous weenie. Come on now.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Dave is on the line from Glendora for you, Tommy Lee. Dave, good morning. Listen up. Here's your question. Famous weenies.
This farmer's most famous weenie has been soaking up cholo beer for years at Chavez Ravine. That's right. This farmer makes Dodger dogs. They rip.
Name, please.
Oh. I can't remember. Sink.
How about Farmer John? Maybe that sounds familiar to you. They make the Dodger dogs. Thanks for playing.
All right.
Okay. That's banana.
Let's go to Beatrice in Valencia. Good morning, Beatrice.
Hi, Kevin Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
Tommy, what's your question?
You can get L.A.'s most famous weenie at this hangout on La Brea. Their hot dogs are bananas, but you better be ready to wait in line, dude. Yeah.
Oh, man. Name that famous. I want to say Cupid's.
Yeah, try Pink's hot dogs is what we were looking for.
I know about Pink.
Yes.
That rips.
All right, we're about out of time here, Tommy. We got time for one more question.
All right. April in Monterey Park. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tommy, what's your question? Name that weenie.
This porn star's pot belly is like a canopy for his weenie. He's affectionately known as the Hedgehog and has worked his pot belly into over 10,000 adult films. Yeah, he works hard. Yeah.
Name that weenie.
Your mom will be so proud if she's listening. Come on.
Can you tell it to me one more time?
Shut up, dumb bitch.
The Hedgehog is great adult film star Ron Jeremy, April.
Oh,
that's who we were looking for.
Yeah.
If you knew it, why'd you say it, dummy? Yeah.
All right. I think we just – am I right? Do we just have Phil and Kathleen? Those are the only two
that's
in our drawing here, right?
That's it.
All right. Lisa May is going to name a winner for K-Rock Weenie Rose DPS,
the
tickets.
The winner is Phil in Huntington Beach.
Phil, yeah! Our first winner. Phil, congratulations.
Away.
You got tickets to the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2008.
I love you guys. I love you guys.
More importantly, we love you. Thank you for listening.
I love you, man.
Thanks, Tommy Lee.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tommy.
Weenie.
My wife is planning to leave me for Seth MacFarlane. I don't know if I told you that or not, Kevin, but she's decided that he is the perfect combination of good looks and comedy. So
I think that's probably a good idea.
I'm apparently out, and Seth is apparently in. And we got a fantastic event to tell you about that Mr. MacFarlane, the creator of Family Guy and American Dad, is going to be at. But first, let's welcome our old friend Seth back to the show. Hey, Seth, how are you, man?
You know, it sounds like your wife is just not good enough for you if she's thinking of doing that.
No, she do love you, Seth. I'll tell you that. Hey, how are you feeling? We heard you're a little under the weather this week.
Oh, better now.
Better now that you're on with us? Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
It's That's a cure-all.
Now, I want to ask you about two things real quick, Seth, before we talk about the Freakin' Sweet event that's going to be tomorrow at the Amundsen, which just sounds amazing. You know how you go to the Wikipedia and you see stuff and you go, well, that you don't know if that's true because anybody can put anything up on Wikipedia. You really shouldn't use it as a primary source. Two things I want to find out if either of these are true. That your middle name is actually Woodbury.
That is true.
Excellent.
Woodbury. It's like a made-up name. No one in the world has that name.
Well, you know, it was my grandfather's mother, my great-grandmother, lived in a small town in Maine, and there was a really hilarious town drunk whose name was Woodbury. She thought he was, like, the funniest guy in the world. My grandfather, that middle name, so it went down through the generations, and so, you know, it's like not only are all the men in on my mom's side of the family named after a drunk, but like a turn of the century drunk.
That's fantastic.
Like, I got to tell you.
Hat with the lid flipped up and whatnot.
I got to tell you, my grandmother, great grandmother, didn't have that kind of sense of humor to name somebody after the town drunk. That's awesome.
I don't know if it was a sense of humor. It was just more an absolute delight with this charming, rosy-cheeked alcoholic.
That's fantastic. All right, Ed, thing two is true or false, Seth McFarland, you have an honorary degree bestowed upon you from Harvard University.
That is true.
Wow.
I mean, it's a bit of an exaggeration. I'm an honorary member of the class of 06, which is a little different.
What does that mean?
It means they gave me a really cool looking plaque when I gave my speech there, and
wow.
Well, I actually don't know if that qualifies as a degree. But
that's one plaque more than I have from there.
Yeah, no kidding. I just love that a guy that makes makes a dog talk funny gets recognition from Harvard. That's what I just love about the country we live in.
You know, there's something wrong with this country.
Exactly. Now, Seth, I've seen you do this on television from time to time when you and the very talented Alex Borstein, who, of course, does voices on your show as well, when you guys get out there and perform Family Guy songs and others live. I've seen you do it on Jimmy Kimmel and some other shows, but you're doing it for the peeps at the Amundsen Theater tomorrow night, right?
That's correct, yep.
What's involved in the show? What will people see when they buy tickets to come down and see the Freakin' Sweet, an evening of music and comedy?
It's basically a bunch of songs from A to Z with some comedy interspersed. That are, you know, some songs that people know, some songs from Family Guy, some just kind of regular, popular songs. But it, each one just has sort of a bizarre kind of screwed up twist on it. And we have with us the Family Guy Orchestra, which is about 40 players.
Wow.
So it should be a pretty big spectacle as well.
You do love musical theater more than almost any other straight guy I know.
I do. I'm a fan of great songwriting.
But it has to be funny for you. Like it. What about the quartet? You got them stopping by? They do some
We don't, but that's actually something we should remember for next time. Yeah, we've not ever done the quartet live.
Oh, that is one of the best parts about that show is a quartet. That song about AIDS was the best.
Yeah. If you brought out the quartet to sing You've Got AIDS, that would bring the house down, Seth.
All right. Hello?
Did we lose him?
Gone.
Wow.
Gone.
Boy gets his plug in. He's out, man. He's out of time. Here's the great news for you, by the way. Freakin' Sweet, an evening of music and comedy with Alex Borstein, who, of course, is Lois on The Family Guy, and Seth MacFarlane, who does Brian and does Peter. You can go and get tickets through the Amundsen, centertheatergroup.org, or we have 10 pairs of tickets we can give away to K-Rock listeners who happen to be listening right now because they're Seth fans at 1-800-520-1067. But again, the show is tomorrow night at the Amundsen Theater, 135 North Grand Avenue in Los Angeles. Lisa, I'm stunned that you're not planning on going to this.
I mean, was planning on going, and then my mom. No. I actually.
And then your mom wants to do something.
And then my mom canceled her trip, and now Mother's Day is tomorrow.
What?
Because she doesn't want to do it on Sunday.
Dude, take your mom to see Seth MacFarlane.
Take your mom.
Don't you think your mom would?
The whole freaking family's gonna be there.
Your whole family needs to hear this song.
You have AIDS.
Yes, you have AIDS.
I hate to tell you, boy, that you have AIDS.
You got the AIDS.
You may have caught it when you stuck that filthy needle in here.
Or maybe all that unprotected sex put you here.
It isn't clear, but what we're certain of is you have AIDS.
Yes, like, you have AIDS.
Not HIV, but full-blown AIDS.
Take it if you know it.
Be sure that you see that this is not HIV.
Come
your mama like that.
I'm sorry, I wish it was something less serious.
All right, we got Seth back on the line. Good morning, Seth.
Boy, that was a live advertisement for the iPhone, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Oh, wow. we just gave away tickets to some of our callers that want to go see the Freakin' Sweet Evening. Before we run out of time, Seth, we haven't had you on in a while, and we've missed you, first of all. You're a bad, bad friend for not coming on more often. But the 100th episode of Family Guy that you did last month was one of the best half hours of television I've ever seen. And I have to ask you about the concept of that show, where you actually interviewed people who were seeing Family Guy for the first time. Is that true? And tell us about it.
Yeah, well, you know, they asked us to do a 100th episode show. We figured, all right, well, it's got to be a clip show, but you know, how do we make that into something more interesting? And we noticed that what The Simpsons had done for their 100th episode was to have, you know, they had people like Jessica Alba and Kiefer Sutherland and all these A-list people basically saying congratulations on 100 episodes.
Right.
So we figured, you know, it'd be funny that rather than have celebrities congratulating us, we would have nobodies telling us how much we suck.
The regular people telling you how much your show blows.
Exactly. And so just regular run-of-the-mill folks. It just seemed like it would be, and basically just, you know, nobodies is a harsh word. These were all very, 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 very opinionated people who certainly had something to say. But it was hilarious because we just kind of let them talk and let them.
Well, what was awesome is they didn't know that you are the Family Guy. You're doing the interviews like they would see the show, and then you take them in a room and say, "Well, what did you guys think of the show?" And they're talking to the man who created it. And they were, in fact, I have a little bit of a clip of here's Seth interviewing some people after seeing the Family Guy episodes.
Did you enjoy Family Guy?
No, I didn't really.
I don't really get it.
It's not funny to me. It's stupid.
What's the point? It should have a point or something.
Is Family Guy a show that you would recommend to your friends?
No. Definitely not. No.
I just thought it was horrible.
Did you enjoy Family Guy?
No.
Would you allow your children to watch Family Guy?
No.
Did you feel a little bit beat up walking out of the room that night, Seth?
We were really hoping for that kind of negativity because it just seemed like such a funny. I mean, we put together a focus group, or rather, the network did. Basically, just people who were just regular people who would not have seen the show.
Right.
And, you know, we were kind of secretly hoping for that kind of a reaction. I don't know that we were expecting it to be that universally negative. I mean, literally everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody that.
At some point, you go, hey, I thought this was going to be funny, but come on now. It's not that bad.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, there's a lot of people that really do not like this show.
Yeah, you had to walk out of there going, I'm practically Osama bin Laden at this point with this audience.
I was riddled with self-doubt and really questioning whether I should keep doing this.
Well, you keep on doing the Family Guy, keep on doing the American Dad, and I guess any day now we're going to get word of the Cleveland spinoff. It looks like that is really happening for next season, right, Seth?
Indeed, yeah, that is on its way.
It's going to be great. The more half hours you can put on my TV, the better off we are. And, you know, it's less time for Farmer Takes a Wife or whatever the hell else they're going to be running. All right, here are the details one more time. Freakin' Sweet, an evening of music and comedy with Alex Borstein and Seth MacFarlane is going to be the Amundsen Theater tomorrow night, centertheatergroup.org, or just look up the Amundsen. It sounds like a fantastic evening of entertainment. Seth, let's not wait so long next time. We'll get you on again. All right, dude?
Sounds good, you guys.
Thank you, man. Feel well. Right. Time for Ralph Showbizby.
Good news for video game fans. Universal Pictures has just announced that they will be making a feature film based on the popular video game BioShock. You ever played BioShock?
I don't think I have, no.
It's the one where the pilot crash lands at like a secret entrance to an underwater city.
Oh, no, I haven't done that.
And you got to fight underwater city dwellers.
And what do they fight with? Spear guns?
Water balls. Like Aquaman, throws water balls.
Really? Seriously?
No, I don't know. I've never played it. It sold over 2 million copies worldwide last year.
Oh, wow.
So a very popular game. Gore Verbinski will be directing, the director of the Pirates of the Caribbean films.
Yeah.
So I bet it's going to be visually stunning.
Yes.
Ralph, is anyone sitting down in front of a computer and writing a script for a movie anymore? Is that happening? Or is it just got to be a video game or a ride or
so
a cartoon?
Century of you. Okay. No. You don't get an original story in your head and then write the script. It's got to be based on something.
I'm looking at the theater right now. I'm looking at your Speed Racer, and I'm looking at your Iron Man. I'm just like, what's the deal?
We're dead inside. Okay. That's the deal.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. Recession's hitting everybody, people, even the rich and famous. Uh-oh. Just ask Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Doo-Wah Diddy Combs. He tells the British magazine London Sun that he is cutting back on his spending due to these tough economic times. In fact, Sean just recently threw a party to celebrate his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame last weekend.
Yeah.
Only spent $2 million on it.
That's it?
That's all.
Oh, my God.
That's all he could afford to cough up for his party.
It's embarrassing.
$2 million. I know. Can you imagine inviting your friends over to a party and you've only spent $2 million?
I wouldn't even go on.
It's got to be rough. By the way, Sean Combs has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Adam West, no freaking star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yeah, well, don't care anymore. Won't
I'm
call us back.
I'm fixing it. I'm fixing it.
Won't call us back. Don't
I'm
care.
I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix it.
Don't care.
You don't care if Adam West gets a star on the Walk of Fame.
Not anymore. Try to get him on the program.
He's a busy man. He's trying to make time in his schedule to talk with us.
He can't make time to make a phone call about him getting a star on the Walk of Fame.
He is.
I'm throwing my weight behind Robin. Let's get Robin one.
You're going to get Burt Ward a star?
Yes.
He's a fag.
Ruff, how is it possible, and I know we don't really have time for this, but how is it possible with Batman, the biggest show on television for 3 years, the most popular sensation, I mean, millions and millions of fans adored that show. How is it possible then it didn't get a star in the Hollywood
Walk? And you just talked to Seth. What about all of his work on Family Guy? A huge body of work.
You're right. Seth is a star. That's right.
As the mayor, of Quahog. Adam West is also in that show.
I bet Seth would help us co-sign getting him a Adam star.
I'm sure he would.
He's a fan.
You will stop playing that, sir.
But how has it not happened is what I guess I'm asking you, Ralph. You're the Batman fan. Why did
no
it never happen before?
Has stepped up to take initiative to make things happen like I'm going to.
Because he's Adam West.
That's what we're saying. Because he's Adam West,
that's
he deserves
what we're
a
saying.
Star.
He's a fan.
Sorry.
Adam West. Adam West. A little bit lower now. Remember that high school teacher in Florida who got fired from her high school position because she had a second job as a bikini mate on a fishing boat?
Yes.
I do.
Tiffany Shepherd's her name. Of course it is. And she won't be asked back to Point St. Lucie High School next fall because of the job. Have you seen the photos of her, by the way, on the boat?
Oh, sure.
No, I have not.
On.
Yes, you have.
Oh, yes, I have. Yeah, of her in the bikini.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. No, I thought there were topless ones, and I saw one of the ones in the bikini. I was like,
sir, keep it in your pants for a little while, because Playboy has just announced that they have signed her to do a layout in one of the future issues of their magazine.
That's excellent news.
So she may be out of a gig, but she's going to make about $25,000 to do a session for Playboy. Well, we'll get to see what up until this point only Captain Gill used to see on the boat there. We'll get to see it all and
they were
live action.
Tremendous flotation devices.
She is a beautiful, beautiful girl, and nobody ever looked like that in my high school teaching when I was
no,
kid.
No.
Just never happened.
And I didn't know that job existed, by the way, just to be a model
bikini
on a boat.
Mate? Yeah, you just wear your bikini around the fishermen while they're on the their excursion for the day.
All right, then. I like that.
Sometimes you, jump overboard, help chum the waters a little bit, I guess, and then jump back in. Guessing that's how that works.
I'm going to think about that and get back to you.
Seagulls circling the boat.
Come on.
In Touch magazine has an interesting list of the top 10 best friend feuds in Hollywood. You ready?
Sure.
These are the former best friends who had knockdown drag-out feuds.
Okay.
Number 10 on the list, Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie.
Boys.
No, come on, Rodney. That's not right. Kanye West and Jay-Z at number 9. Heather Locklear and Denise Richards. Yeah, they had a big boo-ha-ha Richie Sambora.
Bores.
Yeah. Cost him to go drink and drive. That's how bad that fight was. Kiefer Sutherland and Jason Patrick had a falling out over Vainhead. What's her name?
Julia Roberts.
Yeah. Corey Haim and Corey Feldman. The Coreys are number 6. Winona Ryder and Gwyneth Paltrow at number 5. Brooke Hogan and her former best friend, Christian Plante.
Bores.
Who spent some time with Brooke's dad, the Hulkster.
Well, he slept with her, if that's a problem.
Sure. Barbara Walters and Rosie O'Donnell, famous falling out on The View.
Bores.
Justin Timberlake and Wade Robson.
Yeah. I don't know who that is.
Apparently he went after Britney Spears right after Justin broke up with her.
Hey, Godspeed, dude. I don't think that really upset Justin.
And number 1 with a bullet, Lauren Conrad and Heidi Montag.
Whores.
Former best friends.
Whores.
Whores. Used to be friends and now they're not.
The way the media treated their recent Rolling Stone cover photo shoot, the fact that Heidi and who are we talking about?
Lauren.
Heidi
Lauren.
And Lauren were in the same room. I mean, it was almost like Israel and Palestine, yeah. The way it was being breathlessly announced on the news every day.
It was like Lennon and McCartney got back together again to record an album or something.
Oh, they're not standing right next to each other. Oh, one of them looked at the other one.
Look at their body language. You can tell. They're still angry.
What does that mean?
Look at what Spencer Crazy. Thinks. Wonder who they're voting for president. What do they think of the Iraq War? Today's celebrity birthdays, Rosario Dawson. Clerks 2, Grindhouse, Josie and the Pussycats, and I got an angry email from a listener who chastised me for not mentioning, and it is my bad, Sin City, of course. Let's never get
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's she was right. pretty good.
Looking
that.
Dynamite in that. Well, I'm sorry, what?
You heard him.
I didn't hear him. What did he say?
Rant.
Rant.
Rant. 6,942 minutes. Ghostface Killah.
Yeah!
From the Wu-Tang is 38 years old today. Dave Gahan of Depeche Mode turns 46. Billy Joel, huge singer-songwriter. Has sold many, many albums.
Ugly.
Not a good-looking guy.
Not good-looking at all.
But a very successful guy.
Very ugly.
59 years old today. Candace Bergen. Yeah. Know her as Murphy Brown. Of course, she's over there on Boston Legal as
ugly
well.
Ugly as well.
Sick. She's not
no,
ugly.
Kevin.
She's one of the classic beauties
about?
In show business.
Boars.
She was a model for many, many years. Beautiful,
she got
beautiful
mouth.
Girl.
She got that stroke mouth.
Yeah,
she's
I'm Candace Bergen. I got a stroke mouth.
She doesn't
have anything great impression.
Don't get me wrong. But she does not have a stroke mouth.
You're thinking of somebody else, Kevin. She doesn't have a stroke mouth. She really does.
I had a stroke and the side of my mouth doesn't work.
You look like Popeye when you do that.
Mouth.
If you had a corncob pipe in your mouth, you'd look exactly like Popeye.
I know you don't have this category, Kevin, but she's very attractive for a woman who's got to be close to... Well, how old is she, Ralph?
She's 62 years old today.
Yeah, she's very attractive for a 62-year-old.
I can't hear you.
And James L. Brooks, producer, director, the man responsible for The Simpsons. Let's never forget. He was the one who got him on TV. 68 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Time for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. Any topic, including video games.
Hey. John Madden is putting Brett Favre on the cover, even though he's retired on the 20th anniversary of Madden. Just wanted to let you guys know that.
What a shock that Madden would try to honor Brett Favre if he could. What a shock. Because really, he doesn't really think or talk much about Brett.
That's true.
I've got a bike. You can ride it if you like. It's got a basket, a bell that rings, and things to make it look good. I'd give it to you if I could, but I borrowed it.
I don't,
Okay.
I don't know what that was.
I don't either.
Thank you for sharing, though. Sam, the Armenian comedian, came down on our Cinco de Drinko show to show us this new invention of his to help guys masturbate. Apparently that's a problem. It was not an invention as much as it was an electric hair clippers.
Yeah, I think Sam just killed his hair cutting business. I know I would never go there to get my hair cut knowing what he's using that clipper for.
You should never go there knowing how he cuts hair.
Just knowing that it's him.
Yeah, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Beer mug shattered another world record today. Just destroyed it with time to spare.
Or...
Beer mug, you're a complete failure. You're a failure. They just name you failure. You fail at everything. Why don't you just fail at living?
That's a good point.
Maybe we need to... remember our friend the Amazing... Tom Silver?
Sure.
Maybe we need to hypnotize Beer Mug to be a competitor, to be really like jazzed and excited and into it and try hard rather than, I mean, Beer Mug attacks these eating world records like R. Kelly in that sex video.
Yeah.
Like, he barely is aware that it's going on.
He's dead behind the ice. No question.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
It's not bad.
Yeah. It makes a difference.
Motivate him.
Every single person that wants Weenie Roast tickets so far has gotten them.
I keep calling and calling and calling for Weenie Roast tickets, and all I hear is beep, beep, beep. And then you guys have to answer the phone, and then you disconnect me. It's getting so frustrating!
Well, the good news is we give you lots of chances to try. I mean, it's not like you wait around for 10 hours to call in. You can do every single hour. You get another chance to win them. So.
There are some things that should not be pictured as large as a billboard.
Hey, Kevin Bean. I just saw a billboard of Matt Money Smith. And that guy looks like a beaner, man. Wow.
That's a very funny billboard.
Be glad to play that for him in about an hour. Happy to do that. Psycho Mike calls.
Hi, guys. It's Psycho Mike calling. I just want to say
I love penis. Yay, the penis. Yay.
Mike, you don't have to call the Afro Line, dude. You already work here.
And we know.
And we know. Yeah, don't worry about that. You guys remember the tape we played from Doc on Open Mouth from Sunday?
Yes.
Open Line, right?
Oh, the public affairs program. He's good.
K-Rock. We're on the electric radio here. Hi, it's me, Doc on the Rock.
The wrong mic on.
Hope you hear me. I don't hear myself. A typical beginning to this typically ridiculous block of airtime that we call Open Line.
All right, guys, I am really, really tired of hearing this stuff about the horse that was euthanized on the track. The water, muffin, biscuit, whatever its name was. When you guys should have taken Doc on the Rock behind the building years ago and put a mercy round through his skull. He can't even find the right microphone. And when he does find the right microphone, it's a tin cup attached to a broomstick. Put him out of his misery, please.
If ever there was a case to be made for putting a human down who's not sick, it would be Doc.
And you guys remember when the weekend leading up to Coachella, when David Hasselhoff was still our friend? Remember that?
Yes.
Yes.
Boy, I ran him off. Yeah. And he called and he was asking for tickets and offering to do things.
Yes. I loved it. You know, introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
They weren't playing at Coachella, but that's who he wanted to introduce.
I'll just go on stage and go, the Hoff! K-Rock, the Hoff! Come on, that's worth some tickets.
Hi, this is David Hasselhoff. I was just wondering if I could get tickets to Weenie Roast so I can go on stage and say, okay, Rock, Red Hot Chili Peppers. I'm David Hasselhoff.
Right.
Okay.
Not playing that show either, but thanks, Hoff.
Friday morning, time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Yeah! You cheated this week, though, didn't you? You saw a couple of them.
No.
None of them?
No.
All right.
Okay. Okay.
I was worried.
I was supposed to go see Speed Racer.
Yeah?
But things didn't work out.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Because I had something else going on, and I ran long, and I wasn't able to get there.
We don't want you to see them. That's what makes this work.
But this one I wanted to see.
Yeah, I know.
Speed! Speed!
No, that is? That's his brother, Spritel. That's what his brother, Spritel sounds like.
You had an unnatural love for this movie.
I loved this cartoon show so much when I was a kid. Oh, everything about me was Speed Racer. Loved me some Speed. I used to be able to do all the family.
Speed, I'm Pops Racer, your father. I used to be a championship wrestler.
Pops. That was Speed.
Yeah.
His little brother, Spritel.
I don't recognize any of this. This is not going to come as a surprise.
Speed, we want to come too.
Chim-Chim, little pet chimpanzee, used to dress just like Spritel. It's kind of creepy.
Sure.
Come on, Kevin.
I don't know any of that.
Horrible.
But, like, as the case with so many movies, you don't have to have any familiarity with Iron Man, for instance, the comic book,
that's
to enjoy
true.
Iron Man the movie. Maybe that's the same deal with Speed Racer.
First, let's talk about what happens in Vegas, shall we?
Okay. All right.
See, because what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
That expression is not at all tired. I think it's good that it finally made it to a movie screen.
It's got legs.
In this film, Cameron Diaz and Ashton Kutcher, finally, the screen couple you've been dying to see, get together playing two people on vacation in Vegas when they get drunk and they decide on a whim to get married.
No, they don't.
I'll tell you, that premise has not been played out either. The drunk people in Vegas who end up married together?
No, that's new.
You've never seen that in a film or TV show. This is fresh.
Fresh.
Here's the thing. They decide they've made a huge mistake and they go to split up when Jack, played by Ashton Kutcher, accidentally wins a $3 million slot machine jackpot by using Joy, played by Cameron Diaz's quarter.
Ah, so they both lay claim to that fortune.
Yes, but they're forced to spend 6 months together as husband and wife. The judge decides before they can split up the money and separate.
It's one of the wacky movie judges.
Because judges decide that how often?
Right. Makes them wear a sandwich board saying, I'm a bad person. Boy, I sure hope at the end of this film they don't end up really falling in love and staying together.
I guarantee
that would be too much of a shock for me to handle.
I can guarantee that.
Oh, F this movie.
They
right?
fall in love along the
right?
way.
F this movie? Right. Are you with me,
absolutely.
People?
Absolutely.
We had Rob Corddry in yesterday. We love him.
I love Rob,
he's
too.
Great.
Well, you know what? Rob will survive this film
he's
and go
better
on
than this movie.
To make many other funny films. I'm not worried about Rob's career.
You can't get us with a Vegas movie.
We're an easy target for Vegas movies.
Here's a little scene where Cameron, Ash, and Kutcher have to agree to spend 6 months together if they want to split the $3 million jackpot.
So, I can do anything for 6 months. I cannot wear pants for 6 months, so if you aren't up to it.
Oh, I'm so up to it. And if you're trying to insinuate that I'm the one that can't do this, then you're sorely mistaken.
Oh, wow, okay, so it's settled then. All right, think of it as a business arrangement. Be married for 6 months, get $1.5 million.
How hard can it be?
I know how hard it isn't.
Oh.
Come on.
They don't like each other at all, Ralph, but they're forced to stay together to have a shot at the money.
Whew. Really?
She says, I know how hard it isn't.
Yeah. I can do anything for 6 months. I can wear no pants for 6 months. Yes!
Why is that a funny line?
Joke! That's funny. He's not wearing pants. It's funny.
Oh.
Did you get it? Oh, Hollywood, kill yourself. Because it's all over. Euthanasia. Just pull the plug. Seriously. Who's deciding what movies get made? Who's doing it?
I don't know. I don't.
There has to be some sort of process that has to be gone through, right? Where someone goes from script to producer to casting to production to finished product. Someone in that process has to be able to say, hey, guys, this is a turd. Somebody. Who's the turd caller? Who's the turd caller?
I don't know that there is that job turd caller, but there should be. For sure.
Everybody in the chain of command for this film obviously checked yes.
Nuts. Anyway, Speed Racer. Let's talk about that movie. This movie, I guarantee you, will be everything it's advertised to be. It will be visually fascinating. It'll be high-paced adventure. It'll be beautiful, colored. This is the perfect film for these brothers to direct because there's not much character development.
It's all
based
visual.
On a cartoon. It's all about the impact that you make visually, and this thing looks terrific. Can't wait to see it. Speed Racer, of course, a story of a young, talented race car driver, luckily named Speed Racer.
That is good
How
luck.
Lucky are you when you're born and you're named Speed Racer that you end
no
up
kidding.
In the car driving business?
Very fortunate.
Imagine how bad it would be if you ran like a dry cleaning establishment. Can I get my pants, please, Speed Racer? No, they're not ready yet. Your name's Speed Racer. How about some quick service? Yeah, it would be brutal.
Yeah, it would be bad.
And, of course, he comes from a long family of racers. And he gets blackmailed into participating in the most dangerous car race in the world, the Crucible.
Oh, the Crucible is brutal.
This is the race that claimed his older brother's life years ago. Or did it? Because a mysterious driver named Racer X has a strange similarity to Speed's long-lost brother. Doesn't he, Kevin?
There isn't one part of this movie that sounds good to me, except for the Wachowski brothers. If it wasn't for them...
You don't appreciate.
This looks...
You don't appreciate the Speed lore.
Horrible.
Here's where Rex Racer, before he comes Racer X. See, Racer X, Rex, see?
Mm-mm.
No one can figure out that this is his brother.
That is pretty tough.
He's teaching young Speed how to drive. They're bonding. They're sharing the family business of race car driving.
Feel this, Jimmy? It's your hind legs trying to outrun your front.
What do I do?
You stop steering and you start driving. Yeah. This ain't no dead piece of metal. The car's a living, breathing thing, and she's alive. You can feel her talking to you, telling you what she wants, what she needs. All you gotta do is listen. Close your eyes and listen.
And young Speed grows up to race in the Crucible against Racer X, who's his brother who taught him how to drive right there when they were kids.
Okay.
Ah, gives you chills, doesn't it?
What Happens in Vegas? That's the other one.
How dare you. Speed Racer, my choice this weekend, of course. Go, Speed Racer! Go! I'm Ralph Garman. I walked the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's movie beat.
Got it. Got it. I got it. Ride the bike, no handlebars.
Yeah,
got it.
We do know that.
They are playing the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2008. Flowbots are on the bill. And
don't have it yet. Can't wait. Is what I mean.
What?
Can't wait. Don't have it yet. Got to hear it again. That's what I meant to say.
We're going to be giving away more tickets in about 20 minutes right here on the Kevin Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. First, though, I'm not with the gays, so I didn't see the Oprah Winfrey show that aired recently where she interviewed Tom Cruise for an hour. But apparently my man Kevin parks himself in front of the TV every afternoon at 3 to see what Big O's talking about.
Well, not exactly. My wife does watch it every day, and she said, this Tom Cruise interview is unbelievable. You have to watch it. So I sat down, and we watched the interview, and he apparently has hired a new PR firm. And you know all the craziness that he's had going on in his life the past 3 years? He's jumping on couches and being nutty and talking about psychiatry and being combative, all that stuff?
Yeah.
He misspoke. He just misspoke. It was just...
We heard him.
No. It just came out wrong, Bean. It came out wrong.
Now, it was his last appearance on Oprah that kind of really did set fire to Tom Cruise's crazy. I mean, that's where it all began, really, when he jumped up and down on the couch as if he was the first guy to ever be in love, right?
Right.
Yes.
That's when people started saying he's crazy. Then he had the famous Matt Lauer interview after that where he got bogged down with the psychiatry and his hatred of that as a Scientologist and everything. And you're telling me that he went on and is completely rehabbing his image and saying none of that really is correct.
He's saying the opposite of everything that he said the last 3 years.
And
somebody,
we're supposed to believe this.
Yes. Somebody clearly got to him and said, "You're destroying your career."
Well,
stop.
I know you've got some transcripts from the show, and we have lined up Tom Cruise himself to comment. We've got him on the phone right now. Hey, Tom.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're very good. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Good.
No crazy maniacal laugh or anything, Tom. You sound like a normal person.
I've never had a crazy maniacal laugh. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. You were on the Oprah show this past, I guess, Friday.
No, I wasn't. I misappeared.
You misappeared?
Yes.
I see.
Okay, maybe you didn't tape it on Friday, but that's the day that it aired here. It was on the TV Friday.
Well, you're entitled to your opinion. I think everyone should have their own opinion. I believe in God.
Okay. Well, all right, that's part one. Scientologists don't believe in God, I don't think. And she asked you if you believe in God, and you said, of course I do. Of course.
Of course I do, sure.
Then she asked if you're trying to convert people to Scientology, and you said, no.
No, nothing could be further from the truth. I don't think anyone should be a Scientologist.
We saw a whole video where you were talking about that.
No, I think you missaw.
We missaw?
I think you missaw that.
Tom, yeah. For years you've always been a guy out there promoting your faith and talking about how great it's been for you and that you think it would help other people.
No, that wasn't me, no. I don't even know what Scientology is.
Really?
I've never even met a Scientologist.
You are a Scientologist.
Nope, I'm a Jew.
Friends, what? You're not a Jew, Tom. You're the most famous Scientologist in the world.
No, I think you misspoke there.
And then
I'm a Jew, L'chaim.
And then when Oprah asked you about Scientology and if you're trying, you said just people should read. I don't really want to say anything about it.
Yeah.
What's that?
I think people should even read. I think everyone should just ignore it. Let's just pretend it never existed. I don't think there even is Scientology. I'm pretty sure.
There's enormous Scientology centers.
No, I don't believe so.
All over L.A.
Yeah, I think you missaw that.
You've never been in them?
No. I'm a Jew.
All right.
Shalom.
All right. What about the part where you said that when you were talking about kids on antidepressants or the wife or the mom on antidepressants, that you were misheard there as well, that you're not against those kind of drugs?
No, of course not. No, I think I'm pro drugs.
But what about the interviews?
I'm all for them. I'm doing drugs now.
I love
drugs.
Tom, what about
I
the
love
interviews?
Drugs.
Right, but you've said exercise and water, those
and
are
vitamins.
The things.
Vitamins.
And vitamins, those are the things that make you healthy. You should
no.
stay away from psychiatry and
that
drugs.
And people call you at 2 in the morning for your help to get off drugs.
No, they call me 2 in the morning to help me get them drugs.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm a pusher.
We did mishear that.
I'm a Jewish pusher.
I think
everyone should have drugs.
Everyone should.
Yeah. Kevin. Be glib.
Be glib. Okay.
All right. Okay.
Now, psychiatry, you're very famously against.
Yeah. Love it. Love psychiatry.
No, you don't. You don't think anybody should.
I'm in therapy right now. I'm on a couch getting therapy right now.
But why is there a Scientology museum against psychiatry in Hollywood, the industry of death? The whole thing about Scientology is you hate psychiatry.
No, I think they say the industry is death. Death, yo.
Oh, D-E-A-F?
Yes, that's what they're saying.
Oh, death.
Yeah, we're down with that, yo.
I'm having trouble processing the new Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Look, I haven't done the research, okay?
I thought you had done the research.
No, I haven't done the research. So I have no idea. I have no idea if any of this is true. I don't have any idea. For all I know, they could be using Scientology as a street drug. I don't know. Because I haven't done the research.
I'm confused. Is this the Tom Cruise that we should believe, or is it the old one? Which Tom Cruise? Because really, you're saying the opposite things that you said pretty much.
No, I'm not. That's ridiculous. I'm not saying the opposite thing at all.
Well, it sounds to me like you're saying the opposite.
Well, I think you missounded.
Missounded.
Tom, are you on the phone with Kevin and Bean right now on K-Rock?
No, I'm on the phone with Big Boy.
How's that going?
We're Kevin and Bean now.
Much funnier than this.
Thanks to Psycho Mike's lucky shoes, apparently, the Lakers continue their domination in the playoffs. Cheers. They're in Utah, I guess, for a game tonight. We'll check in with former sports guy Money from Utah. He'll be talking to us from Salt Lake coming up after the news at 9 and let us know what the lay of the land is. Shoes, yeah, shoes. Exactly. First, though, 8:54, Ralph's here with the final showbiz beat for the day. What's going on, Ralph?
It's your Kobe's interview with Money?
Yeah, Mike did. I didn't hear it.
Yeah, it was really impressive.
What's he talking about?
Just everything about, you know, the MVP and how the Lakers are doing, how he feels about being a Laker now and what's going on and Petros's engagement.
What?
Petros Papadakis.
He got engaged?
Got engaged, yeah.
Petros? Really? Someone's marrying him?
Wow. Yeah.
Really?
She's
so
been
Kobe
girlfriend.
Comes out and goes, I heard about the engagement. Congratulations, P. Petros couldn't get over it. Couldn't get over that Kobe Bryant was congratulating him.
Well, that is kind of weird.
It was kind of weird.
Yeah. About that.
But yeah, it was really good. So
I knew something was up with P. I stopped in to see those guys the other day when I was in town, and I saw Money in his office, and P wasn't there because he was out working out. And I thought, since when is P working out? Since when does P care about what he looks like? And now I guess we know why, because he's getting married.
Since when do you spend any time with people ever?
If they work at a radio station.
That isn't ours.
He's into it.
He will go to great lengths to make contact with them.
I was in the neighborhood. I was on my way back to the airport, and it was right there.
The neighborhood.
Fascinating.
All right. Well, we'll talk to Money about all of that coming up after the news.
Yes, we will. Heather Mills. You remember her? Paul McCartney's ex-wife?
Oh, yeah.
Access Hollywood is reporting that apparently she is in talks with being a potential contestant on the upcoming season of Donald Trump's Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh. But it would be so short-lived. They would all hate
her. Your challenge this week is to sell legs. Go out there. She would just clean up.
Why can't she just take the money and go away?
Because now she's hooked. Now she loves the spotlight.
The fame.
She wants to be somebody.
She's so hateable. Everyone will hate her. Donald will fire her.
But
it'll be short-lived.
If OJ gets the gig.
Yeah.
And she and OJ are in the same team. She is blonde.
Yes.
So maybe we could see a very special episode of Celebrity Apprentice where the juice comes out with his blood all over his hands. Oops. I did it again. Couldn't run away from him, that's for sure.
That's
the producers of White Wife Swap, speaking of reality television, are working on another show. Kevin, you should call. You should get on this show.
Yes.
They're looking for the world's most aggressive drivers.
Oh, my God.
To do a reality show about road rage and aggressive driving.
I don't know anything about road rage.
Well, it's because
I'm a fantastic driver, if that's what you're referring
to. No one in front of you as you're speeding to get here at work every morning.
How dare you?
Every time you come in, there's one person on the road. It's like, this guy wouldn't get out of my way. He was completely in my way. He's ruined everything.
Every once in a while, somebody's in the way, sure.
You and Lightning should go down and apply for this show. They are specifically targeting drivers from New York and New Jersey. Excellent choice.
Yes.
If you've ever been either of those states, you know, they are the road rage capitals of the world. So,
what's the show about, though? Watching them drive?
Apparently, they're going to try to remake them into safer drivers.
I hope they have people, you know, actively cutting them off and stuff, trying to push their buttons.
Trying to instigate
rage
and see if they can get them to not react.
Yes.
Hope that show's followed by jingles. Hope that's on the same night. They're officially running out of ideas for reality shows.
You know what would be a great reality show? And I just thought of this as you were talking about the aggressive drivers. Is
three-day weekend?
No, staged car chases. You know the car chases that you guys all love?
Yeah.
What if they had a show where you were a contestant and your job to win the money was get away from the cops? That might be cool.
Leaves this reviewer cold.
Yeah, me too.
Really? I think the
pleasure in car chases is that they're real and they're spontaneous.
It's real trouble.
And there's no way of knowing what's going to happen.
But think of the stuff that people would, I mean, the way people would drive if there was $1 million on the line if they could just get away. You know what I mean? I think you'd see some pretty creative moves is all I'm suggesting.
I'd like to be in that. Then I could be in a car chase and not go to jail.
True.
Yeah, there you go.
I like that.
They should have like fantasy camp. They should have car chase fantasy camp where you
cops, helicopters.
For a ridiculous amount of like $10,000 or something. You show up and they put you in a beat up Chevy Nova and they say, go! And then you're on this enclosed racetrack and the cops and the helicopters try to get you.
I like it.
If you get to grab the flag at the end or something, then you win.
Or some sort of a town that they abandon and like cordon off so you can actually be on real streets and alleys and stuff like that.
Chase Town, USA.
Yeah, now we're talking.
When
now
I run things, things will be different. I'll tell you that right now.
Heard you guys talking to Tom Cruise a few moments ago.
What?
Everyone is speculating as to whether he is
on some type of drug,
himself, reinventing himself for the benefit of his career.
Oh, there's no question he's trying to do that.
However, it may be too late.
DMZ.com reports that, according to the ratings, more people tuned in to see Barbara Walters talk about her autobiography in Oprah than tuned in to watch Tom Cruise.
No kidding.
So people may have lost interest in Tom completely, but I predict, once again, it will be revived anew. Once you see Tom Cruise as an eye patch wearing Nazi, then things are getting things are taking off again. That's what I'm saying.
Things will heat up for his career.
Please let that movie come
out. Valkyrie is released. It's going to be a brand new Tom.
I'm in love with Katie Holmes. Yeah, I'm in love with Katie Holmes. I'm not gay. Uh-huh. Go see my new movie. Yeah. I'm in love with Katie Holmes. I'm not gay.
Right. I wear an eye patch. If you have nothing to do tomorrow night, come join me and my good friend Kevin, won't you, at the Dealing for Duchesne Celebrity Charity Poker Tournament. It is a fundraising event to try to battle the horrible disease of Duchesne muscular dystrophy. Duchesne strikes one in every 3,500 boys here in America, and it strikes them when they're young men. Most of them don't get a chance to live past their teens. It is a fatal disease, and there have been a few scientific breakthroughs, but not nearly enough to help these families and these kids. So if you'd like to have some fun, play some poker or some blackjack or some roulette, have some booze, dance, eat. It's going to be a great event tomorrow night at the Peterson Automotive Museum. You can find out more information by going to the website Dealing for Duchesne. The link is located on the Kevin and Bean links page at krock.com. So come on out and join us. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, there's a rumor that if I win the poker tournament, I'm not going to cash in and take a bunch of money home.
You cash in, but what you get are tickets.
No.
You see,
no.
For the grand prize raffle drawing.
I will take my money.
No, you won't take
it. I will
money.
Take
no.
it.
I'm going to have security keep a close watch on you. They're doing a silent auction and stuff like that, too. So I love silent auctions. I look forward to that stuff. My wife makes my wife furious because I'm like one of those eBay guys where if I bid on something, I thought, that's kind of cool. I'd pay, you know, $50 for that and I write it down. But then I see someone else go over and then top my bid.
Yeah. Right.
Well, now it's game on. Now, screw you.
Now
you
know.
No, no way. I had to pay like $8,000 for an autographed football or something because I'm not going to lose to that.
Knowing
guy.
That, I'm going to follow you around and bid after you on everything.
Just going to punch
just everything $1
up.
More.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Rosario Dawson from Grindhouse, Josie and the Pussycats, Sin City. Someone reminded me that she was in Alexander, too. Remember that movie Oliver Stone made with Colin Farrell? Yeah, she's like really naked in it. She just gets
really
wrecked
naked?
By Colin Farrell, just wrecked by him.
Let me tell you something about Rosario Dawson, too. Not only gorgeous, but the nicest woman in the world, too.
She does
like,
seem
everyone
charming.
Everyone loves her. She's just awesome.
Yeah.
29 years old today.
Nice melons.
Ghostface Killa of Wu-Tang Clan is 38.
Nice melons.
You know what his nom de plume is when he works on songs, when he writes songs, how he credits himself on like the Wu-Tang Clan?
It's not
records.
Ghostface?
It's not Ghostface.
Killa?
Tony Starks.
Really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Named
the Iron
after
Man?
The Iron Man character, yeah. A little S added. Dave Gahan of Depeche Mode is 46 years old today. Billy Joel turns 59. Candace Bergen, Kevin's favorite star of Murphy Brown and also Boston Legal.
I look like I had a stroke.
She's 62.
I'm out. I have stroke mouth.
She doesn't have stroke
talk like
mouth.
That I had a stroke only in my mouth.
Who could he be thinking of?
It's I don't know.
I did. Dick Clark?
Candace Bergen. Stroke mouth.
My favorite thing about Candace Bergen is her father was a famous radio ventriloquist.
What?
Yeah.
What?
That's right.
In the 30s and 40s, this guy was the biggest star in America, being a ventriloquist with a dummy on the radio.
But you don't have to...
My point exactly.
Kevin. What's the point of...
My point exactly. People loved him doing ventriloquism on the radio. I can do ventriloquism on the radio. How you doing, Johnny? I'm doing pretty good today, thanks. Look, you don't see his lips move. Of course not. He's on the radio.
That's a ridiculous job.
Radio ventriloquist. It's like being a mime for the blind. James L. Brooks, producer, director, and writer. He is 68 years old today. I am Ralph Garman. Go Flyers, and I walk the movie show.
Danzig. On the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ.
Thank you.
Danzig.
Finally!
Danzig. That was Danzig.
Well, I suspect it's for Mother's Day, because that's what all moms love.
I hope not, because that's gay.
Well, the song is called Mother. But
I know.
All moms, let's face it, they all love Danzig, too.
Mine does. My mom loves Danzig.
Yeah. That's true.
Guitar Hero.
Yeah! Everybody!
Yeah.
You!
Right.
Eat suck F*** your mom! Die, die, die! F*** your mom! Die, die, die! F*** your mom! Die, die, die! F*** your mom! Yeah! So, happy Mother's Day to you all. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Congratulations to Carrie Cardell from Newhall. Just won her tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta 2008. Yours are coming up in less than an hour. Is there anything sporting news that may be of interest for tonight on TV, Kevin?
Lakers!
That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, Money.
Matt Money Smith is in Utah with the Lakers playing the Jazz tonight. Game 3, second round of the playoffs. How you doing, Money?
Mother. Have you guys searched YouTube Danzig fight? Greatest
yes.
YouTube video ever.
Yes.
Greatest YouTube video ever.
That's a pretty tough call, by the way. Kevin. Greatest YouTube video ever.
Kevin. Mike, get my back.
Awesome.
Dude gets
what goes on in it, Money?
Well, Danzig, like this dude, Danzig's talking crap to this guy, and if you've ever seen Glenn Danzig, he's about 4'6".
Yeah.
And about 4'6" wide. He's just this giant fire plug.
He's like a little mountain.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I might be short, but check out how swole I am. He's that dude. So he gets into this guy's face and is just talking just mad trash to him, and the guy finally just gets fed up and lays him out in one punch. And then, like, all of Danzig's people rush to his rescue, and they're like, that wasn't cool, man.
I don't know that that's better than Tool choking out that dude on stage. That was pretty good, too.
Yeah, that was pretty good. But this, just the destruction with one punch for a little swole guy is pretty great.
That's funny.
But yeah, awesome, I'm in Salt Lake. I'm in the
Yeah, how's Utah? What's that like?
It's very white. And and it's very white. And then it's white.
Have you noticed anything about the
Orange County
color?
Republican, though, you have to love it.
Well, I'm not an Orange County Republican, but it's just a strange city. I really like Salt Lake City because it's different. You know, there's really no place like it. And to me, that's kind of cool when it comes to hitting the road. You know, you have the mountains in the background and the snow and all that, but people are very friendly. It's got that small town atmosphere. But when we pulled in on the Laker buses, I flew in with the Lakers last night. It's like people were very kind and waving, but you got the sense that, like, right below their window, they were giving you the finger.
Yeah.
You know? You could tell it was kind of like that fake wave, like, yay, the Lakers are in town.
Hey, how's it going? I hope we destroy you.
What goes on the Laker plane? Is it pretty subdued, or is it kind of a party atmosphere when you guys are flying out for a game?
It depends. You know, the way out, it's usually pretty mellow. People are either, you know, a lot of times the players are napping because they usually fly after practice, and I think that's usually when they kind of get their rest in. Some of them are reading. A couple of them play cards in the back with the dudes, and then the coaches are usually kind of going over video and their game plan. So it's almost like a business-like atmosphere on the way out. And then depending on how the game goes
right.
on the way back, it's one or the other. You know, dudes are either pretty pissed off because they let a game get away, or they're in a good mood because they got a big win that was a meaningful win. I would assume on this particular trip, you know, when we fly home Sunday after the game, after game 4, if the Lakers sweep or maybe if they get a split, you know, they're probably going to be in pretty high spirits, especially if they move on and know that they're just kind of kicking it now until the end of the Spurs-Hornets series.
Now,
that would probably be a pretty exciting flight.
Do you look around on the plane and go, when are people going to realize I don't belong on this plane and throw me the hell off?
There are those kind of surreal moments. Like on the way out, I'm going to fall out. My street cred's going to zero. It's going to go to negative 10 right now.
Let's hear it.
I'm reading this book, Pillars of the Earth, which is fantastic.
What is it?
It's just like it's going to get even worse here. It's set in like the early like 1100, 1200s in England.
About
it's all about
stone cutter.
Being built.
It's a huge bestseller this
it
year.
Is,
it's been everybody's reading it.
Rodney,
right?
Anything you want to say to Money?
You're so gay.
Right?
Yeah, well. So I'm reading it and all of a sudden Powell's like, "Hey, I just finished that book." I was like, "Great." So
what?
I'm having this conversation about a bestseller with Powell.
Wait a minute. An NBA player finished a book.
Powell's a pretty smart dude. Powell reads a lot.
Speaking of talking to the players, Mike was talking about it. Ralph saw it. I did not. You had a big interview with Kobe yesterday.
We did, yeah. Kobe talked to us yesterday for about 20 minutes.
That's pretty strong.
Yeah, it was great because, you know, it was one of the things that stuck out if you watch the MVP trophy presentation, and you guys know this. You've talked to Kobe before. He always says the right thing in the interview.
He's good with press usually.
He's very good. He's savvy. You know, he knows how to make you – he makes you like him when you interview him. And when he got that MVP award, it was just kind of weird that he had nothing to say. You know, he said, thanks. I love you guys. Twice, and then he said, I really don't know what to say, so let's just get this party started. And that was so rare for him. And after the game, you know, he said it was strange because I was nervous. It's like, and I never get nervous. I don't get nervous in game seven of a playoff series, before a game, after a game. Hmm. I never have that feeling, but I had that for some reason when I was standing there next to David Stern. So
some of the situations that he's been in are super high pressure.
Right.
Yeah. And you go, how could the dude not be a little nervous?
It's pretty, but you know what? That's what, whenever we talk to analysts or opposing coaches, they say that's what makes him and why he's the best player.
I'm sure. I just don't, I think it's unnatural. I mean, everybody's nervous, but it's, I guess in this particular situation, it's been a long time coming. I mean, he's been a pro for 12 years now?
12 years. This is his 12th season.
And this is the first year he's won. I mean, that's...
It is pretty remarkable. And we were having a conversation yesterday. If you're just joining us, former sports guy Matt Money Smith is in Salt Lake City with the Lakers. Of course, you can hear the game on KLAC, and he'll be doing, you know, he's on all the time, for God's sakes. We were talking about this yesterday, that Coach Phil came out and said that no player that he has ever coached has deserved to win the MVP or worked harder for it than Kobe has this year. And I think Kevin brought up how weird a statement that was for a guy who coached Jordan all those years that he won the MVP. What's the distinction there? What's he talking about?
I think because Jordan won his first one in 80. 87, I think it was, before Phil was his coach. So Jordan already had one by the time Phil became his head coach. So that may be what his point, because, you know, I can remember, of course, you know, growing up in that part of the country, when Phil would get chapped that, like, Charles Barkley or Karl Malone was winning MVPs, because he said, you know, writers are just giving it to them because, you know, their career, you know, suggests that they're one of the greatest players to ever play this game, but they weren't the MVP. Michael Jordan was the MVP clearly that year. So I think because Michael already had, you know, he won five over the course of his career, I think because Kobe had gone through, 12 seasons, like you said, Kevin, and not got one, that may be what the sentiment was.
Gotcha.
Now, Larry Bird was quoted, and it was a pretty funny quote. It almost was, in a sense, like he didn't realize that Kobe didn't have one. And when he was asked about, you know, Kobe maybe winning his first, he said, you know, when you hear things like that, it makes me want to take my three MVP trophies and just throw them in the trash because they're worthless.
That's funny. All right, we're almost out of time. What can Utah do, if anything, to win one from the Lakers this weekend?
Well, you know, I'm sure some people have heard this. They have the best home record in the NBA. I mean, 37-4. They won 37 of their 41 games in this building. It's a great place to play if you're a home team. It's a great place to watch a game if you're a fan. If you're the opponent, it is a nightmare.
Why?
It's almost like a
Why?
Because the seats are so close to the floor.
So it's way louder.
It's like a college atmosphere. It's so loud. The fans are fantastic. I mean, they're rude. They're awful. Even though they're supposed to be pleasant and friendly according to their religion.
Sure.
They throw Jell-O.
It's a nightmare for opponents. And I think, you know, when a team gets on that run and, you know, the crowd then gets behind them, it's very hard to overcome the momentum of that crowd. And then the crowd, you know, Phil Jackson said this a couple years ago. He said what happens then is that the crowd then, to some degree, plays into the way the refs call the game because, you know, just subconsciously they get caught up in that momentum, and before you know it, they're kind of letting fouls go, and he says the game just kind of plays out a little differently when you have this sort of...
So it's not on purpose with the refs, it's just kind of the way it feels like it should be going because of the energy of the crowd?
I think that's, you know, but that's Phil, you know, Zen... psychoanalyzing,
right.
You know, all of, you know, why games play out the way they do. I mean, look, when you look at the Lakers' foul shots in the first two games, I mean, I think, if I remember right, I think game two was 43-16
with
the difference between how many the Lakers took and how many the Jazz took as far as free throws were concerned. You can't expect that to keep going at that rate.
No, you're absolutely right, and that's an excellent point about the stadium there, too. And we pointed out yesterday, by the way, although it's unlikely that Utah can come back from being down two in this series, they did it last year in round one against the Rockets. I mean, it doesn't happen very often, but they are one of the teams that has not given up down 0-2, so you can't count them out, that's for sure.
But they are going up against Psycho Mike's shoes.
That's true about that.
Psycho Mike has lucky shoes money, and he wears them, and every time he wears them, the Lakers win.
So is he wearing them right now?
Nope.
Well,
what the hell, Mike?
I will be by tip-off.
He's going to wear them tonight during the game. Doesn't have to be an all-day thing, dude. He's got this worked out.
Listen, Mike. Kobe doesn't just work out an hour before the game.
Good point.
He works out all day.
Good point.
He wakes up and he works out. When he goes to the bathroom, his penis does push-ups on the seat. All right? You put on those damn shoes and you put them on now, Mike.
God damn it, you're right.
All right.
Sorry.
Hey,
I'm
Money.
Sorry.
And one other thing, Money. We got an Afro call that I wanted to play for you.
Hey, Kevin Bean. I just saw a billboard of Matt Money Smith, and that guy looks like a beaner, man. Wow.
Those are my people, man.
Those are your peeps.
That's right.
Those
Listen,
are my people.
You're coming back on Sunday. Maybe you can stop by on Monday or something. Yeah. We'll recap the weekend with you, dude.
I would be happy to. But I should point out, too, just, I don't know, for those dorks that like the history of the game.
Yeah.
this is exactly 1 year to the day when Derek Fisher made that remarkable comeback. Remember, he was in New York for his daughter's cancer surgery, flew back to Utah, right, walked into the third quarter and hit that giant three-pointer that got the Jazz their win over Golden State. And it was like, I think Sports Illustrated called it the greatest moment in the NBA of 2007. So this is the one-year anniversary of that day. And, you know, Derek, even though he went back to L.A. to take care of his daughter's cancer surgery because of the treatment center at UCLA, has been booed mercilessly by these Jazz fans since he left them. So,
good
hey,
times.
Hey, for the well-being of your family, you're no longer one of us.
That's right. Forget that.
Good times.
Exactly. Well,
all right,
you guys, on Monday.
All right, money.
Have a great weekend. Thanks, Matt. Bye-bye.
Guys, I don't know who to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
For president in
right,
5, 6, 7 months, however long it is. And every time a celebrity comes out, they push me one way. And I go, well, I mean, if they're saying I got to vote for somebody, then I have to vote for somebody. And then somebody else comes out for someone else. How do I choose?
I know. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? I know. It's tough, right?
When Heidi from the Hills came out and said who she was voting for, I thought,
well, here's the thing about
gotta
Heidi.
Go with that.
God bless her. Smartest woman in the world, I think. She's certainly a role model for people of all ages and around the world.
Sure.
And she came out for John McCain. Now, before you take that at face value, she was at the Kentucky Derby last week trying to watch the race with the binoculars turned around backwards. Okay, let's keep that in mind okay, before you decide if Heidi is who you want to go to for your endorsement, okay?
Okay.
But all the – I mean, let's face it. Oprah has done as much for Senator Obama's campaign as anybody. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
true.
Everybody lines up. I mean, that's just how celebrities are. In fact, it's in the news this week. I don't know if you guys saw. There's a big YouTube video up with the great double Oscar winner Tom Hanks. Let's hear what he has to say here. Beware celebrity endorsement, it says.
Hello, I'm Tom Hanks, and I want Barack Obama to be the next president of our country.
Okay.
As official celebrity, I know my endorsement has just made your mind up for you.
So, boom. So even Tom understands. Celebrity says it here. It comes out there. You do what they say. That's how American politics works.
So now I have to vote for him until
if he's the last celebrity you hear from until you go to the poll. Right, exactly.
If no one else comes out between now and then, I'm set. But if any other celebrities come out, then what are you going to do? And we feel like maybe we've let you, the K-Rock audience, down a little bit. We do have celebrities on this show from time to time.
Right.
And we haven't really used those connections yet. So to find out how they're going to vote, I thought we would just call some of the celebrities that regularly appear on the program.
Okay.
You mind? Okay. Just call Rodney.
Oh, good idea.
Hello?
Rodney?
Rodney? Hey, it's Kevin and Bean.
What do you want?
We're calling to find out who you're voting for, who you're supporting for the President of the United States.
Is this some kind of joke?
No.
No, we're talking about celebrity endorsements, yeah, and a lot of people may be interested in who your candidate is.
Right, that's Godhead.
Okay, so who should we vote? Who should we vote for president?
The United States?
Yes. The election is coming up in November.
All
which
right,
of the candidates do you like?
Who would I vote for?
Yes!
Yes.
Johnny Ramone.
Well, it's not anyone from history. It has to kind of be the nominee for the party.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, this election.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Joey Ramone.
Okay. Roddy, John McCain, Barack Obama, or Hillary Clinton? One of them will be president. Which one of those three do you like?
Do I have to choose from those three?
Yes. Yes. Yes, that's
right. All right. Dee Dee Ramone.
Okay. All right. We got to go, Roddy. All right. So that's – okay. Maybe he's not the
Echo
celebrity.
Echo and the Bunny
to.
Man.
All right. Thank you, Roddy.
Thomas Dolby.
All right. We got to go.
Spandau Ballet.
Thank you, Roddy. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
Let's
try again.
Let's call Bob Dylan.
That wasn't helpful.
Talk about him. Now, Dylan, there's a guy.
Right?
Of course.
A
lot of people would care what he has to say.
He's a thinker, right?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bob?
Yeah.
Kevin and Bean, how are you, man?
Hey, Kevin and Bean.
How's it going?
Sir.
Now,
Bob, we're having a discussion. I don't know if you're listening this morning. We're having a discussion about celebrity endorsements, and you are, you know, some people consider the spokesperson for your generation. Who do you like in November for the next president? I did not get any of that. I'm sorry, Bob. Not a word.
I heard people and issues.
I'm pretty sure I heard easy E.
No.
Although I'm not positive.
Yeah. I have to go to the back of the cam.
Who?
You have to with who?
Bring in the cam.
Bring in the clowns?
Ring it right.
Ringo Starr. Did you say Ringo Starr?
No. Where?
How are we supposed to know who to vote for?
I'm telling you.
All right.
Say it again.
Ringo Starr.
Ringo Ross.
Lincoln Logs?
You're voting for Lincoln Logs. That's what you're saying.
Big. Oh, man.
Is it Senator Obama, Senator Clinton, or Senator McCain?
I can't.
Go back.
Okay. All right. Is it Senator Clinton? Is it Senator McCain? Is it Senator Obama? There we go. Okay. All right. Why do you like him? Why have you chosen him as your nominee?
I think he's been learning. He's very banking when in Chicago. He's having a difference and difference and didn't see him from the street. He can change it and take them things they ain't make no pretty hold on him.
That's
okay,
true.
Thanks, Bob. We appreciate it. That is true.
Thank you, Bob. All right, so that's one for Obama and one for Joey Ramone. Who else are we calling?
It's called the great Sean Connery.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Very outspoken. Sure.
Hello?
Sean Connery.
Yes.
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean. How you doing?
Oh, for sake.
Oh, jeez.
What do you want?
Well, sorry to bother you.
What do I have to do to keep you guys from crawling up my ass?
I know, and it wasn't scheduled. I know we didn't have an appointment with you, but
you have any idea what time it is?
I don't know where you are right now, so no.
Well, I'll tell you, it's too f***ing early to talk to you. I'm busy doing blow off a young girl's
Okay, well, we're going to let you get right back to that in a second.
Geez. Is that whore there with you?
She yes.
is,
yeah. Lisa, yeah.
Do me a favor, just dangle a d*** in front of her face or she'll shut the f*** up.
Wow.
Son,
wow.
You are awful. You're a terrible man.
You are a terrible man, Sean.
What I could do with that
Okay, listen, let's change the subject. Sean, the conversation we were having is about how every celebrity is letting their opinion be known about the upcoming presidential election.
Yes,
I know you
course.
Yeah, you can't vote, of course, but people still do care what all celebrities have to say. So who's your pick to be the next president here in the United States?
Well, for me, the choice is simple. Hillary Clinton.
Really?
Hillary Clinton. Okay.
Absolutely. I happen to know that Mrs. Clinton has a weak spot for my personal cause, which is the independence of Scotland.
Oh, okay.
And I would love to get an opportunity, if she became president, to sit down with her and force her to g*** on my
Sean,
how does that help Scotland get free?
That's... Oh, hello, Madam President. I'd love to g*** her until the mascara was running down from her eyes because her eyes were watering. Okay. From the bulbous in my in the back of my throat.
Oh,
shut the f***
up. All right, I'm sorry we called you. Is that Omar?
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Friday edition of Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew on the air right now. Give us a call and win a pair of tickets to the X2 preview event happening at Six Flags Magic Mountain 1 week from, well, let me see, Friday, May 23rd. So you do the math. It'll be the day before it opens to the public. So go and please enjoy.
All right, let's start with Herb in Northridge, who wants to talk about Beer Mug and his record-setting attempts. Good morning.
Good morning. What to Do Nephew?
What to Do?
Beer Mug really sucks. And I think you guys need to change up the challenges a little bit.
Why? He's doing well.
And by well, you mean
sucks. He has never come close to accomplishing a competitive eating record.
What's your recommendation on how we should mix it up, Herb?
Well, since he never trained, I think maybe you should give him something he inadvertently trained for, which is alcohol.
Oh.
The drinking record.
Yeah, some kind of drinking record, maybe.
Yeah, it usually turns out well. People try to drink a lot of stuff.
What could go wrong there?
It leads to hilarity.
At least he is accomplished.
Blood alcohol poisoning.
At least he is accomplished in that world. That's
Beer
true.
Mug, is there any food or drink record that you think you could actually hit? I mean, is there something we haven't asked you to do that you think you'd have a good shot at making?
While you think of that, if you missed it earlier this morning, the record for chicken nuggets was 80 in 5 minutes. Beer Mug ate 15.
In 5 minutes.
Record the, 80.
The video is up at krock.com in the Kevin and Bean section. You
record
can actually see it from
safe.
This morning.
Record safe.
Yes.
Not being threatened by Beer Mug.
Not touched.
Like, what's your favorite food, Mug, that you can eat fast?
Potato chips.
Let's find out what the record is for potato chips, then.
We'll find it out.
Doesn't matter, because he's going to take a bite from the chip, and he'll chew it for a while, and he'll look around. And
dip it in some sauce.
Yeah, he'll make himself a dip with some crab and some mayonnaise. He'll whip up a little dip, and then he'll open up the paper and sit down and have another chip.
He does not share our enthusiasm for the clock.
There's no urgency in your eating. That's the problem.
I really got to get on it, I guess, huh?
Yes.
You think? 80 was the record. You did 15. I mean, until you're approaching the halfway point, maybe you ought to step it up a bit. That's
big,
all.
Big numbers today. That's all I got to say.
I don't know what that means.
That makes no sense.
Don't know what that means. Thank you.
Let's talk to Sam in Santa Monica.
All right.
Hello?
Sam, good morning.
Good morning,
Sam. Hey, Sam.
What's up, guys?
What's happening, man?
What it do, nephew?
What it do? Hey, I want to ask Kevin if you got that video I sent him about the cow giving a guy oral.
I did not see it yet. You sent it to me, though?
Yeah, I sent it through my phone, so it's going to come out in a phone number.
It's going to come out in... Oh, as a text from a phone number? Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
I will look for that. I don't know if I want to see it or not.
Oh, come on!
There was a story, though, that this cop somehow talked a cow into doing that four times.
And the big question why you were talking about it was like, how would a cow do that?
How would a cow do that?
They would bite it off, wouldn't they? They just eat. Oh, they have rough tongues. All these questions were raised, and now they can be settled by this video, and I think we must see it.
Sam, you're the man. Thank you for sending it. All right.
Or don't.
Yeah. Already sent it, and we're going to... I'll forward it on to you, Bean. Joe in La Habra, good morning.
Hey.
Hi, Joe.
What'd it do?
I was talking about there's a little person cop up in... Davis by Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go on ride-alongs with them.
You can go on ride-alongs with a midget cop.
Yeah, you can like email them and be like, "Hey, can I go out and like go on?"
I don't
whatever.
Believe that there's a little person cop.
No, they have a height requirement.
Do they?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me.
He is 4'11", so he's not a true like
4'11". That's 4'11". Close to being a midget.
I think it is. I think
really
4'10".
Yeah,
is an official midget, I think.
But I
used to think it was 4'11".
The height requirement is like 5'4", at least.
If there is a midget police officer, I'm going to go on a ride-along with him.
I'll send you the email.
Thank you.
Maybe he's a mascot like,
I think so.
McGruff the crime dog or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they send him out to schools to talk about, give a hoot, don't pollute, or whatever they say. And I don't think he could be a real cop.
I don't think so.
If he is, he just has, like, misdemeanors, just small crimes.
All right. We just have time for one more. Which one do you like? You want porn stars versus wrestlers? Do you want Caesar, who got suspended for being on our show? Who do you want to go to?
Let's go to Caesar and find out. We don't have much time.
Yeah,
Caesar?
Turn down porn stars. Smart.
What'd it do, guys?
What happened, dude?
All right. Well, I was talking to you guys earlier about that. I got the beanie from Slipknot, and I had it for 10 years.
Right.
Yes.
And my boss heard it on the radio, and he suspended me for 2 days.
Because why? You had a bad beanie choice?
No, because I'm not supposed to be on the phone... apparently talking to you guys.
Oh, you were at work when you called.
Yes, I was at work. So I strongly feel...
That's bogus.
I strongly feel I should get some
Wiener Rose tickets.
Yeah, I couldn't have seen that coming.
We strongly feel that we're going to suspend you from listening to this show now as a result of that request. Thank you for the call.
You can't listen anymore as well.
I know we say it all the time, but people, seriously, when you email us and say, look, my friend's grandmother just died and I really need to cheer up, give me Wiener Rose tickets, or hey, it's my birthday, or wow, I really... my girlfriend's great, and, I punched her in the head last week. I want to make it up to her. I want to give her tickets. That's just not, no.
Can't, because there's too many. There's too many.
Very small venue. A lot of people want
to
go.
Yeah. We try to make it fair by giving them out on the radio so everybody has a chance. If we gave them to all the people who email, there wouldn't be any for you to win who are just trying to.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it doesn't make any sense. But thank you anyway. And thanks to Seth MacFarlane for joining us today. Frequent Suite, an evening of music and comedy with Alex Borstein and Seth MacFarlane happens at the Amundsen Theater tomorrow night. Go to centertheatergroup.org. He, of course, is the creator and genius behind The Family Guy and American Dad. Sounds like a very, very fun night at the Amundsen tomorrow.
All right. Monday morning, all you need to know is... K-Rock Weenie Roast, ticket on sale.
Oh.
Tell you all about that in the 7 o'clock hour on Monday morning. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Go Flyers.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
The best tonic is chronic.
Pass it over to me.
Happy Mother's Day.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
I don't still sound like my head.
Pass it over to me.
God damn it, I love pot.
Roll another one.
Oh yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
Just like the other one.
lovely Kat Corbett is coming up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. Stick around for your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta. Plus, she'll play Smashing Pumpkins, Bad Religion, Nine Inch Nails, and the new one from Coldplay. Coming up soon, too.
Butt hash.
Now, exactly how much pot did you smoke?
Just like the other one.
Oh, yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
Yeah, Eric.
Are you a part of that, Parker?
No. No. What? No, no.
But don't fuck up that joint.
Smoke weed.
Just pass it around.
Marijuana is delicious.
But don't fuck up that joint, my friend. I just pass it on.
Did everybody think?
Ah, that stunk!
Worst episode ever.
Excuse me. If you can hear me, that... Okay, I see security's coming, so I just want to say, damn it. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up here. Thank you for your time, and drive safe.
Sometimes I lie awake at night, and I ask, when will it all end? Then a voice comes to me, that says, right after the credits.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.
This is Santa Monica!